The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from the 2014 New England Patriots Draft Headquarters inside Gillette Stadium, this is PFW in Progress.
Okay, football fans, welcome to the NFL Draft.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Look, I am a football idiot. Go F yourself back.
Grandpa Draft, Paul Perillo.
I think a guy like Solder, not sold. I don't know how many times I can say this. I was wrong. Yes, I was wrong.
Mr. Draft himself, Andy Hart.
I hear the echoes in his head when he talks. It's like this vast cavern of nothingness inside that big fat noggin. That's right, you've got a storm going on inside your head. There's no doubt.
And Mrs. Draft, Eric Scalavino.
Screw you, bitch.
Eleanor.
Whoa.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
The New England Patriots like
Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric welcome you to day three of the 2014 NFL Draft.
The draft is officially open.
And day three of our 2014 draft coverage extravaganza continues. I'm Eric Scalavino with Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Maybe Jackie Britton will come and join us for a little while as well. We're here with you for the next 3 hours from noon to three, covering, thankfully, Paul, the final rounds of the 2014 draft. Patriots are going to be very busy today. They have, at the moment, 7 picks remaining. And including one that's going to be coming up in a few minutes here in the fourth round. They have 105, 130.
So you're not looking for the 4-day draft, huh, Eric?
No, sir. No. I am not. And I'm going to be really honest with you right now, Paul. Not sure I'm going to make it today.
I'm running
struggling.
Out of gas.
I am running on fumes, but we have 3 hours ahead of us. 10 hours total of coverage is what we're going to be giving you by the end of this day over the 3-day period.
It's going to be even more because we went late last night.
Well, yeah, we had 3.5 hours last night. We had 3.5 hours the night before.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, you know, 3 hours today. My math says that's 10, but, you know, we're all sleeping.
Felt like more than that.
It certainly did. God, yeah, it did. Fred's not here today. He's at the commencement for his son. So it's just going to be just us guys, and like I said, maybe Jackie will stop in. So 105, 130, and 140 are the picks that the Patriots have coming up in round four today, Paul. Then at the moment, they don't have a fifth-round pick. Then they have three more picks in round six, 179, 198, 206, and then one in round seven, 244. Now, Bill kind of gave us some hope last night in his remarks that maybe they would package some of those later picks and move up a little bit. Got my hopes up a little bit, but there's even more of a chance that
they have either a kicker or a long snapper that they need for the future.
Well, I think they already have a long snapper of the future. They signed, what was his name, a couple of months ago. Can't remember his name now. But they have two long snappers on the roster, so I think they're set there.
Okay. As I figured, I can't leave you two alone. You're talking long snappers.
Well, I just wanted to get the relevant positions for the Patriots.
Right. But
nothing that can help in the immediate future. We need to look, you know, forward.
No, I come around on the Garoppolo pick.
And we were definitely wrong, by the way, in our pre-draft analysis, Andy. You and I really banged home the two-year window that you needed to look at. It was more of a four-year window. Mm. That you needed to look at.
I'm on board with the Garoppolo pick now.
Good for you, Patriot.
You are now. Patriot. Why is that?
Tell us why.
Because I think
that's interesting.
We've seen Bill blow a second-round pick at virtually every position except quarterback. So maybe, you know.
Oh, so you're being sarcastic, Andy, now.
Yes. I have not come around on Garoppolo. I still don't like it.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, and as we set the table, I assume you're setting
the
table.
Yeah, we are setting
the
table.
I just cleared my table of three slices of buffalo chicken pizza.
Oh, so you're going to be running in and out of the studio for the next 3 hours.
No, it's a very strange situation.
Buffalo's chicken's the one thing that doesn't go through.
Papagino's buffalo chicken pizza.
Which
should shoot through me like an arrow through hot butter. Does not for some reason.
No orange fire water?
No, not generally. And I'm sure some of our listeners have or should watch the day two war room footage available on Patriots.com where they select Jimmy Garoppolo and then make the trade. And, you know, you get a little behind the scenes. You get to see Robert Kraft talking to the quarterback and all that. We have answered now, obviously, that indeed Mike Lombardi, not only in the war room, but gets a seat at the big boy table. The table that includes the Krafts, Bill Belichick, Nick Caserio, Ernie Adams, and Vince Lombardi's son, Mike Lombardi. Now, I don't know if he gets to say anything. I don't know if anybody listens to him, but the assistant to the coaching staff.
Yes, that's his official title.
Has a table at the main table. Has a seat at the main table in the war room.
What do you make of that?
Absolutely nothing. I just think he's a Bill Belichick FOB. You know, friend O'Bill, confidant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, obviously he's been a multi-time GM in this league, so it's not like he doesn't warrant a seat at the table based on his resume and his credentials.
Okay.
But I just, you know, he's part of the process, clearly. You know, the bigger process, because if you watch the video, there's a secondary table that includes a lot of the other types, John Robinson and, you know,
right,
scouts and various people. But he's at the big old big boy table.
Okay. So, like I said, we have seven picks at the moment. We have seven picks to go for
the
Patriots for the rest of the day. Yes, the first pick of the day is in, number 101, first pick of round four, Philadelphia Eagles. Their pick is in. But the Patriots have three in this round. They have 105, so that'll be coming up very shortly, because now from here on out, the picks, teams only have 5 minutes.
5 minutos.
Just like
solamente.
Third round last night. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the Andy North America.
Yes.
So toll-free number.
Mexicans are certainly welcome.
Mm-hmm. As well as our friends north of the border in Canada. And webradio@patriots.com is the email address. All those ways you can get in touch with us. Let's get an email in very quickly here, because people want to react to the picks that we've had already. The first round pick, Dominique Easley, and the second round pick yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo. Balarco from Louisiana.
Polo!
Says, hey guys, loved the pick in round two. I know many people hated it, but I like Garoppolo. I've heard that he's smart, trains hard, as well as in the weight room. He might be from a small school.
Tim Tebow was smart and trained hard.
But his stats are impressive.
I don't know if he was smart. Strike that from the record.
Which proves that he put a lot of work into mastering the system.
Oh, the second Watkins brother went off the board. Jalen joining Sammy.
Okay. Balarco was rudely interrupted there.
No, you were rudely interrupted.
He did much better than Romo. I like him more than A.J. McCarron, personally.
Me too.
Mettenberg is a better QB, but he has all these off-the-field issues, plus a torn ACL. So, I think...
Wait, now torn ACLs matter? They didn't matter in the first round. Now they matter in the second round? I'm trying to keep up.
So am I. While round two might seem like a bit higher than anticipated, we can't just draft QBs in the late rounds and expect them all to be Tom Brady. That's a good point. I find it a bit hypocritical that when a poll was posted on Patriots.com on whether the Pats should draft a QB, 58% said yes, but now they're all mad. Plus, we need to replace Mallett like we replaced Hoyer.
Well, A, you didn't have to draft him in the second round, and B, it didn't have to be Garoppolo.
Yeah, I don't really know why that's hypocritical.
I was one who thought it was a virtual certainty they would take a quarterback this weekend.
Yeah, and I didn't think that. So there was some differing views, but...
I agreed with...
But among those 58%, what if, you know, a good percentage of that didn't really like Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything hypocritical about that. Maybe there was another guy that they liked. Like Andy said, maybe another round they would have rather seen somebody get taken.
Or that guy who said Mettenberger's better, but, you know, what? Like he thinks Mettenberger's better.
And he's still available.
Still on the board. Wouldn't it be great if they took another quarterback and just
good
F
God.
With everybody?
You think Tom would just start crying?
You're going to like the rest of Balarco's email, though, Andy. He says, I love the fact that we have seven picks on day three with three fourth-round picks. Let's get that Arthur Lynch guy before he's gone. Also, which running backs are your favorite among the remaining ones? What do you think of Andre Williams? Also, what do you think of that QB who's referred to as an athlete, quote-unquote? I heard that he trains like a running back with the running backs on his team. Also, how do you feel about Brock Vereen?
Brock?
Shane's brother, the safety.
Brock?
He's still available.
Brock's okay. I think he showed some stuff, and I know Shane was excited when he talked to him.
Yes.
When he talked to us about him.
Brock?
I don't like the fact, by the way, and this is not part of the reason why I didn't like the Garoppolo pick, but I don't need my quarterback to be a weight room warrior. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I think of that, I think of Tebow and Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn is the one I think of most.
I mean, if he's a great quarterback and he's a weight room
I don't need a big, bulky quarterback with huge arms. That's not, you know, there's some positions that you don't necessarily need this great work ethic pumping iron.
When we say big-armed quarterbacks, we don't actually mean his arm is big.
Yeah, I don't need him to have 24-inch pythons.
Like me.
I need him to be able to, you know, listen, now, the weight room stuff, the legs, he needs the leg strength and,
the way
they talk now about the core and all that. Yeah, that stuff is important for a quarterback, but... Necessarily, weight room strong is not a characteristic I think is a plus for a quarterback.
This is 15,000 people out here?
The Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences is holding their commencement as we speak.
That doesn't look like 15,000 people to me.
And yeah, we were told 15,000 people would be in attendance, but
I ain't buying.
It looks like there are actually more people at Revs games, I think.
This is a small crowd.
It is a small crowd.
I mean, look at this is a 68,000 seat stadium.
15,000 would be almost a quarter full, and it's not not a quarter full.
That's too bad. Matthew from Doesn't Say Where wants to talk about his predictions for day three of the draft.
So, bring him. Wait, I never got to answer.
Okay. Which one? Brock Vereen?
Running back.
Oh, running back, yes.
Devonta Freeman out of Florida State I like as an undersized committee guy.
Okay.
Certainly is never going to be your lead back, but is intriguing. I liked Marion Grice out of Arizona State. He's a little bit bigger back. I think he has a more of a Stephen Ridley-type potential. And Rajon Neal out of Tennessee is a bigger back, 5'11", 220, 1,100 yards last year, can catch the ball a little bit. Good quickness and speed. I like him.
Andre Williams was mentioned in that email.
Yeah, slow plotter.
You wouldn't be happy at any point in day three here?
I mean, I guess with a late round pick. I mean, I guess he got seven. Yeah, I wouldn't hate it, but I just don't love him as a player.
There's some production there, obviously, that if you could get him in the fifth round or something.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with Andy on the overall player.
And as Fred said, it's a shame we don't have a fifth-round pick, Paul. Major gaping hole there in the draft unless they trade into it.
Well, sure, and maybe that's what he's going to do is package some of those sixth-rounders to get a fifth-rounder, which would be nice to eliminate some picks.
We're on pick 103. The Falcons are on the clock. So the Patriots
102?
Bashaun Breeland, a cornerback out of Clemson.
Oh, Breeland.
Okay. Well, so Patriots are very close to being on the clock. Let's get this quick email in from Matthew in Doesn't Say Where. So far, like the players drafted, though I think QB could have waited around. That said, here's who I hope they get in round four. What do you think of these picks? One, Artie Lynch, tight end, Georgia.
I would take him.
In the fourth?
Yeah. Too high?
I would take him. I like him, but it might be a little.
Still a reach at that point?
You know, it's just about value, but if you like the player, you take the player.
Trey Boston, safety, North Carolina.
Let me look at him. I'm not familiar off the top.
Well, our other guy from Baylor still available, right?
Yeah, he would be my guy.
I would take Dixon.
Dixon
is my guy. Uh-huh. I don't know much about Trey Boston.
Okay. And
why does mine keep going in and out?
Martavis Bryant.
Intriguing.
Wide receiver Clemson.
Very interesting prospect.
Big, surprisingly fast. You know, it was obviously in the shadow, so to speak, of Sammy Watkins, but had his own production.
Yep.
I certainly think he would fill the bill as the type of receiver they would go after, a bigger guy with upside, and I think he has both of those things in spades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a decent fourth round.
Oh, yeah.
What the emailer wrote in.
You know, to back up the emailer, you know, there's a lot of talk, and we've talked about it all through this draft process.
What?
It's a deep draft. Well, this is part of what it means to be a deep draft, is that there are still players that you think might be able to help a team in the third and fourth round, fifth round. There's guys that have some ability here. That's where you see depth. It's not necessarily, there's going to be X amount of Hall of Fame players coming out of this draft. I think it's a deep draft in that there are a lot of good players available.
Devonta Freeman, the running back from...
I like him a lot.
But Andy and I both love him.
He just went to the Falcons.
That's unfortunate. I like what Thomas Dimitroff's doing down there.
He's from that national champion powerhouse, Andy, FS.
Yes, yeah, FS.
You might remember.
They are a dominant school.
That's always one of my favorite Andy lines, though. I like what fill-in-the-blank GM is doing down
there. Arizona would be the one this year. Arizona and New Orleans are my two favorite drafts. From the first couple days. I think they've done a really nice job.
Michelle, who loves it when Fred calls her Charlotta in Stockholm, I know nothing about Garoppolo other than we'll never have to count Mississippi's with him as we do with Mallett, who holds onto the ball until hell freezes over.
He does have a very quick release, Charlotta.
Yeah.
You are correct.
In college, the quick release was he knew where he was going, he went where he was going, the guy was open where he was going.
A lot has been made of the simplicity of the offense that he was in, not asked to do a whole lot.
Like Bill. Yep. I mean, Bill was, you know, he didn't want to be disrespectful, but said, you know, quite a jump coming in offense here.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, we talked about, and there was one thing I wanted to say, sort of defending him a little bit for Garoppolo. We talked about the record, 23-22, something along that line.
Yeah.
Inherited a really, really piss-poor program. And by his senior year, they went deep into the playoffs. So maybe that record is a little bit misleading. He was pretty much the reason why they were able to go from nothing to a playoff team. So let's not put too much into just that one stat.
Did we? Did you guys talk about the situation at quarterback?
No, we did not.
I found that very interesting, the wording that Belichick used.
Yeah.
Said that was something we felt we needed to address sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, that's somewhere you want to go too soon rather than too late. And then he acknowledged that we all know Tom Brady's age and contract
situation.
I thought that is a clear
uncharacteristic.
Very open, very uncharacteristic, and very clearly pointing to this is different than Ryan Mallett. This is a guy, this is a time, this is a thought process of planning for the end of Tom Brady's career based on his age and his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just to read, to back up Andy, I'll let Bill Belichick's actual words fill in the blanks here. And as part of his opening comments last night, he talked about taking Garoppolo and spending some time with him. Quote, with the situation we have at quarterback, I didn't know we had a situation. I think that we felt as an organization that we needed to address that to some degree in the future. So we'll see how that all works out. But I think you're better off being early than late at that position. That was a, I thought that was a money quote as part of his open. And then the first question was when talking about referring to, you know, better off being early rather than late, the contract situations with Mallett and Brady. And Bill says, all the things you just said, we know that Ryan's contract, we know what Ryan's contract situation is. We know what Tom's age in contract situation is. I don't think you want to have one quarterback in your team. I don't think that's responsible to the entire team or the organization. So I agree with Andy and Eric. I thought that was a little bit more forthcoming about the situation than
we've heard
might normally be.
Yeah.
The situation. Didn't know there was a situation. The situation room. Situation implies like, doesn't that work?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Oh, I think that word. There's a situation room.
Well, yes, but not every situation is a dire situation. I think that's what you're thinking.
I think there's an implication of dire. We have a situation.
Yeah, but.
Doesn't your mind tend to drift towards negative?
It depends on the context.
We have a situation.
Well, it depends on the context, because if somebody were to call in and say, hey guys, what's the situation that you see in front of you today? We would be describing a commencement ceremony.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
so.
That doesn't imply that there's something awful going on.
I think situation tends to lead people towards negative thoughts.
It can. But
the situation room.
Okay. The pick for the Jets is in.
They took Jalen Saunders, wide receiver from Oklahoma. So the Patriots are now on the clock.
Come on, Artie Lynch.
Who's making the picks today? Who's announcing the picks?
Some guy, VP of football operations. When I saw Gandhi or something.
Gandhi's making the wow. That's a pretty big get for the NFL.
Well, Gandhi's appeared here.
He did?
Yeah.
When?
We had Gandhi, didn't we?
We had the Dalai Lama.
Oh, the Dalai Lama. They're all the same.
Jalen Saunders to the Jets, about 5'9", 165. What do you guys think of this addition to the AFC East rivals?
4'4", 40, slot guy. Does a lot of work in the middle of the field. I think his future is probably at punt returner, 15-yard punt return average. I think he's a slot punt returner guy that, you know, who knows if he develops.
Make some plays in the punt game, punt return game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, playmaker in the punt return game, a little cruise-like, definitely slot, big play guy. Quicker than fast, good hands, dynamic. Yeah. Fifth round grade, I think NFL draft scout opened with him, so it's a little early
for that.
Do you guys like what the Jets have done so far? We're halfway through the Patriots.
What'd they have? Pryor, two and a half minutes left. Amaro and one other person? Yeah. I think they've addressed some needs. I think overall this offseason they've continued to add to their team. And fill voids in their team, in the back end, the front end.
Yeah, the question will be, did they pick the right guys? You know, Pryor and Clinton Dix were considered the top two safeties, and they had their choice of either one of them. They took Pryor. I think Pryor was the better player.
I do, too.
A lot of people on the networks believe that Clinton Dix was the better player and that they dropped the ball on that.
2 minutes to go for the Patriots. What do we think here? Are we going to go defense again, or are we going to stay on offense and take a tight end?
I think offensive line has to be in play as well.
O-line, tight end, and safety. I've kind of been a broken record.
There's your steamroller here.
Steamroller, he's a 4-5 guy.
I got my eye on the steamroller.
I like Ahmad Dixon.
I loved him personally.
If I were to pick guys that could come in right away, Dixon still has a chance. The steamroller still has a chance. Arthur Lynch would be a bit of a reach, I think, to come in and say he's going to be our September tight end.
The pick has been made, guys. The Patriots pick has been made.
The pick is in. It's in.
Don't know if they're actually going to the podium at this stage on the television broadcast, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to get the audio or not.
I don't think so.
Our buddy Zach is running the control room today.
From Syracuse?
No. Zach, our little friend who's been in the booth with us the last few days.
He was making it funny.
I don't know why you got to call him little.
Yeah, I wasn't taking it literally, Andy.
I know.
Our young friend.
He's
how's
much
that?
Bigger than
our
him.
Younger friend.
It's true.
Stork from FSU at 105.
Oh, line.
Brian Stork.
Right?
Another Florida State Seminole.
I like him. I had him listed as one of my best available.
Center. So offensive line in play, Paul, was correct.
I had him as one of my best available. He, fourth round type prospect, so he's right on the money. I liked him. He played right guard, left guard, and center for them. Won the Remington Trophy. We know we have a long history of drafting those guys. 40 starts, good size. Did some work, obviously, out of the gun and regular. Walls off very well. He's one of those sort of positional blockers. Doesn't have great power. He was at the, you know, obviously the middle of a great offense and very successful program. So, not going to be above him to come in and fit in with a great offense and a great quarterback. And
did you mention anything about position versatility?
I did. Right guard, left guard, and center.
Left guard, center. And with Ryan Wendell re-signing, I know that was a position where when we got to free agency, the start of free agency, we thought maybe it would be possible that they could let him go and maybe either upgrade from there or maybe add in the draft. They didn't go the free agent route. They just re-signed Wendell. Now they've drafted a guy. Do you think, even though Wendell's resigned, someone like Stork could come in and maybe push for
replace him?
Yep. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think right away?
I think maybe not right away.
Better than 50% chance that Brian Stork is a starting offensive lineman in the year 2014.
What about at either, not either guard, but at right guard?
Yeah, that's why I said at offensive line. I'm not ready to necessarily pigeonhole him just as a center, although I do think he's a center in the NFL long term.
Solid pick then for the Patriots.
But the value might be with Wendell and Stork and getting rid of Conley based on just financial implications.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think he's probably your starting center in 2015 at the very least.
Solid pick.
I like the pick.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it. Yeah, big guy, too, for a center. I mean, not a lot of centers are really tall.
Certainly not here. He's the biggest center we've had since Mike Compton.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to say.
Probably.
We've had a lot of undersized, you know, Copen, Wendell types. This is the biggest center we've had in a while.
All right. So Brian Stork is your third Patriot.
Look what the
Stork
weekend. Brought.
That's right.
Ho, ho!
Again, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500, toll-free, webradio at patriots.com. The email address, let's get a few more emails in here. Day three possibility. A lot of people want to do the prediction game today.
The prediction game?
This is Dan, again, from Doesn't Say Where. We're getting a lot of emails from that place again today. What do you guys think of these possible players? Storm Johnson, running back, UCF, and DeAnthony Thomas, running back, Oregon, also punt/kickoff returner.
Yeah, I don't think DeAnthony Thomas is a running back option. He's going to be a specialist athlete, return man, just too small. His production decreased, his injuries increased over the course of his career at Oregon, just too small. Storm Johnson, is that what you said?
Yes, Storm Johnson.
Yeah, he's a legitimate option as a any point from now on running back.
Okay. Marcel Jensen, tight end, Fresno State. That Fresno used to be a pipeline school team with the former Pat Hill regime out there. Brock Vereen, safety, Minnesota. We talked about him a little bit earlier.
Now, it'll be interesting, Brock Vereen, whether they deem him a safety, a slot corner, how they would have him slotted in.
see what you did there. One other one here in the prediction game, Christian Jones, linebacker from FS, Andy.
Yes, your favorite school. I don't think I liked him.
I did.
Of course you did. You don't know talent.
Good athlete.
That's really all you got.
Well,
Jones, down arrow, played all three linebacker spots, decent size. Not really quick or fast, indecisive at times, gets caught up in the wash, falls down on occasion, nothing stands out.
Am I thinking of Tevin Smith? Telvin Smith?
Well, he already got drafted.
Yeah, is that who I'm thinking of that I liked, though?
How the F would I know?
I'll have to check that out.
Give me the credit. My boy Bruce
Smith's a better player.
My boy Bruce Ellington just got drafted by the 49ers.
Do you like what the
5'9", 197, South Carolina wide receiver.
Let me check on my Florida State linebackers.
Okay. While you do that, let's get another email in. Peter from Connecticut. I have some problems with the Garoppolo pick.
Me too.
Yeah. First off, I was really mad when the Broncos traded up to get Corey Latimer. Allen Robinson, who was once considered a first-round pick, slid one pick away from the Pats. All the quality tight ends and safeties are gone, so I really think we may be screwed. That's really negative.
You need to stop. Oh, was once considered. Like, who's considering a guy a first-round pick?
Yeah.
That doesn't carry a lot of weight. I mean, Todd McShay thought Anthony Barr was, you know, available in the 40s or whatever, late 30s. Anthony Barr went 9 or 10. It's all, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder and how you grade guys.
Jacob from Denmark. So after the Stork pick, who do you want the Pats to draft? I'd love to have Lynch as a solid tight end, and a safety also should be a priority.
Dixon, Lynch are two of my favorite potential Patriots.
Dixon from Baylor, the safety.
Yeah, hard-hitting safety. I don't know that I would deem him plug and play, but I think he's the guy with the best chance to maybe still play at this point. I still think they need to add a tight end. We've now checked off offensive line. I would not eliminate my guy McCullers or one of the other stout run-stuffing defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of cornerbacks still on the draft. You cannot eliminate cornerback in any draft for any team, regardless of their depth chart. So that's about it.
Are you happy at least that the positions that we are targeting as analysts are positions that the Patriots are at least going after? You may not like the specific picks, but the fact that they're going after those positions.
Well, I think it's obvious, and we've talked about these multi-year windows. You know, either now or in the very near future, Ryan Wendell and Dan Conley are gone, so you need an interior offensive lineman. You got one of those. In now or in the near future, you're moving on from depending so much on Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly and the veterans there. You got Dominic Easley as a different type, but one of those guys in the middle. I guess now or in the somewhat near future, you're moving on from Tom Brady and the situation you have at the quarterback position. You got Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, that's the least likable of the three selections, but they're certainly addressing some needs that fit into my theory of the draft as a two-year window.
All right, let's get our first call of the day on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Alex is in Chicago. Good morning out there, Alex.
Good morning. How you doing?
What's up?
I was just wondering really quick, I like the Dominic Easley first-round pick. I don't have a problem with it, but I was just wondering if we've heard anything from him, like a conference call or anything like that.
Yes.
Yeah, he spoke to us just moments after he was drafted on Thursday night.
And you will hear from him again on Monday
morning.
He visits Gillette Stadium for the traditional sort of getting to know the number one pick.
All right, awesome. And what do you guys think about Stork? Do you think he's a good picker?
I like Stork.
Yeah, I think we all like
He was one of my best available coming off last night and at a position where I think the Patriots needed to address that interior line depth. I think, you know, as a Remington Trophy winner, he's one of the best centers in the country on a good offense, and I think he could come in and compete for playing time as a rookie.
You happy so far with the draft, with what the Patriots are doing?
Yeah, I'm happy with it so far, yeah. I wish we would take like a tight end or a safety or something like that. I think it's too late now.
It's not over.
No,
we got six picks.
And we got two more in this round. So
six picks. Arthur Lynch still out there?
When's the next one?
The next pick is 130. The number 130. Not
at the time.
Not the time.
Although,
right. And then 10 picks later at 140. So there's going to be a lot of action.
Oh.
A lot of action.
Stay tuned to Patriots.com.
Yep.
We are just going to be pumping out picks.
And Alex, go to Patriots.com because you'll see the stories that we wrote on Thursday and last night about the two picks. And there'll be quotes in there from Dominic Easley and Jimmy Garoppolo. So go check those out.
As well as his transcript. You can probably hear the audio. I'm guessing that's around there. Patriots.com has everything you could possibly need regarding the draft and the Patriots right now.
Don't need to go anywhere
Thanks
else.
Thanks for the call,
Everything
Alex.
You need is there.
Park your
derriere.
Digital derriere on Patriots.com.
That's right. LT from Adelaide writes in, hey guys.
Guys.
If you have three doors and there's a prize behind one of the doors.
No.
Just kidding. Does Stork remind you of Dan Copen, a later round draft pick and maybe a solid starter into the future? I don't mind the pick either. Interior offensive line was a need for the Pats.
That's certainly the hope.
Maybe a little stronger than Copen.
See if he can play.
Yeah, a little bit bigger,
physically
a little stronger.
Didn't you think he was stronger than Copen when you watched him on tape?
Oh, yeah.
You thought he turned a lot of defensive linemen.
Significantly bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
Size is power.
Mm-hmm.
Power is size.
Yeah, and Copen was even a lower pick, fifth round, right?
Yeah.
and was basically a starter almost from the get-go.
Now, the one he came from a traditional offensive line school. Yes.
Woody got hurt early in that season. He took over for Woody as a rookie.
Mm. And never looked back, though. I mean, it's not like there was they decided, you know.
There's like no tackles in front of him.
And that was Woody's walk year. He left as a free agent, so he had the job.
Right. You look back, you're going to get beat.
Well, it happened a lot when Chris Jenkins was on the other side.
Oh, he never looked back. Jenkins threw him out of the way.
He wasn't close enough to look back. He couldn't see.
Patrick from New York. Bill's a good coach, but a lousy GM.
He will pick Jags
and trade to the Jags because he does what he wants to do. Great job, guys.
He definitely does what he wants to do. That I can confirm.
Raiders just took Justin Ellis, a defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech.
Oh, yeah, that's good value there. He is a tree stump and a penetrator, 6'1", 334, built like Paul Perillo, athletic motor.
Absolutely, athletic
blocks.
Understands.
Could play lower. He's got a fat belly. I told you he was like Paul.
No.
Run stuffer, 0-3 technique, violent player.
I'm going to be violent if we're going me and you. Let's do an Oklahoma drill.
Oh,
that'd be fun. Yeah.
Bring it.
Do it in front of all of these people at the commencement, too.
I couldn't even get up, let alone do an Oklahoma drill.
Can he be the ball carrier? Because I'll bleep and kill him.
No.
You see? That's what you have to say when you sit up there.
And then you have to say, our lads doesn't have him listed.
Yeah.
Our lads had him as a possible.
Our lads didn't have him on the draft board.
Yeah, our lads had him as a possible 2016 prospect.
One of our listeners, Michael Ware, actually tweeted us the since Fred's not there, and he took a picture of the Our Lads guide with the stork bio. I should do that. I screwed up. I'm sorry.
Read one more email.
Yeah, we usually. Okay. I shouldn't disrespect the pick. That's what we do. We read the pick.
Phil from Nova Scotia is saying, I'm having an argument with two friends about whether the Patriots' first two picks have been a gamble or a reach. I say gamble. One friend says reach. The other says a gamble and a reach are the same thing.
No.
So we're getting a perfect PFW in progress semantics argument.
Yeah, I disagree with this. I think that there's a difference between a gamble and a reach.
Absolutely.
And I would say that Garoppolo was a reach and Easley was a gamble. I don't think they're the same.
And define your rationale for
that. Well, Easley, I think, is a good player and was drafted right around where most teams were going to draft him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a gamble in that he has two torn ACLs.
He has one torn ACL, and he previously tore the other injury.
History that would lead you to believe that there's a risk involved there. Garoppolo, to me, and this is just my opinion now, I think that he was drafted earlier than his talent would lead you to believe. So to me, that was a little bit of a reach. And when you throw into the situation of he's not going to play for, hopefully at least 3 years, maybe more, now it becomes sort of a curious pick.
Brian Stork.
This is the Our Lads.
Some of his hist. No, this is NFL Draft Review by Nolan Naraki. This is in a legitimate publication. Did not participate in any physical testing at the combine because of injuries to his left knee and both shoulders. He was a medical exclusion. So that fits.
I thought he had a turf toe or something.
No, that's not what's listed here.
No.
I'm going to skip his strengths and weaknesses. Blah, he's a center. Lunch pail worker is one of his strengths. I'll give you that. The game is important to him. But his future. Good size bump and steer blocker, ideally suited for zone blocking, slide protection scheme. Smart, tough technician, capable of serving as an interior swing backup and could eventually fend for a starting job as a pivot. Will be best developed by a patient, respectful position coach. They had him as a fifth or a sixth round selection, and the scouts take, quote, I didn't like Stork. He's pretty good at being a fit type guy. When he has to match up against better defensive tackles with more explosiveness, they will just lock his butt out. He's sort of a stiff guy. Will get clashed and shoved backwards. You have to remember, he is surrounded by some pretty good players there. They have four linemen that could all come out next year and will all probably go in the first three rounds of the draft. Not a glowing...
No. What, you know what the phrase that I have a little bit of a problem with sometimes is the game is important to him. Football is important to him. Wouldn't you assume that most players who play this game at this level, it's important to them? Why do you have to point that particular aspect?
Because I don't know if it is to all of them, though.
Well, but what I mean, how would it not be important to a player if he's gotten to this level?
I think you're talking about, and that might be a semantic argument too, Eric.
Mm.
I think what they're talking about is some guys are just good at something. That they were born to be 6'5" and 300 pounds, and they had an aptitude for it, but they don't really love it. You know, and
like it, don't
they,
love
they
it.
They do it as a means to an end, and I don't think they have the desire.
And to some of them, the end is getting drafted.
Yeah,
the end isn't necessarily.
Does that make sense to you? Like the way
yes.
It's not necessarily that it's not important. Like they feel like it's their best way to make some money,
mm-hmm. right?
And they have the size to do it, and they're going to get in, get out, and get on with something else because they don't really love it,
right? So
and I have heard examples of guys like that in the past. You know, I think there's some question about Easley in that regard with, you know, all the talk.
Oh, yeah,
had
there
about,
was. There was a question actually by Jeff Howe in the conference call about that.
You know, about the cartoons and about not watching football and not caring.
But, I mean, I think there's a – I don't know. I guess you're right. I mean, it is kind of semantic. But the fact that – I mean, if a guy is here, if this is his job, it's obviously important enough to him that he wants to do it for as a career.
But not necessarily because you get tracked. It's a tracking situation where you're good at it. It's your way to go to college. Then it's your way to make some money. And you just kind of, you're good enough, like Paul said, and you're put on that track.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you an example. I'm not going to give you the specific name because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But we had a draft pick here who played about 8 to 10 years ago that we had a sort of connection to.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to people that knew him very well, and he really just didn't like football. He did it because he was big,
mm-hmm.
and he figured he could make some money at it. And then the first opportunity he got to get out, he tried to take a loophole, if you recall, and it didn't work out for him. And he didn't really have – he was drafted here, never spent any considerable time here, went to another organization or two, and was quickly washed out of the league. There's a guy that football wasn't very important to him. He did it because he was big, and he could do it, and he tried to get out as fast as he could. It never worked out
for him. But wouldn't you say there – more often than not – football is important to the guys who get drafted.
Yes,
I would like to think that.
So,
yes.
So when they say for a guy like Stork, when they actually mention that it, as a strength of his, football is important to him. Is it way more important to him than the average guy? Is that why they put it in there? Like why would
it's
you
a
have
strength.
To,
I don't know if it's way more important, but it's a strength.
Is he like Gerard Mayo? Is he going to be here at the facility 24 hours a day?
Yes. My guess would be, like, Tom Brady, I think football is important to him. It always has been, and I think it's more important to him than a lot of other first-round talents or talented guys or NFL starters.
Yeah, I would say there are degrees of it.
Okay.
You know, but it's hard. I understand your point, Aaron, because it's such a nebulous sort of difficult.
How do you define
difficult
it?
And tangible to quantify.
Right. Last few picks, I think.
It's like Easley, by the way. I think people are misunderstanding that he doesn't watch and like football. I think there's a lot of guys that don't. Like we've
Matt
talked Light, about Matt Light.
Matt Light didn't
or the
watch
example
football.
I gave. You know,
but
I don't
Matt Light took it seriously.
And I think Easley
football
does
was
when
important
he's there.
To Matt Light.
When,
when
he works
there, right.
hard when he's there. When
right.
he goes home, he wants to watch SpongeBob. And I have no problem with
that at all. I have no problem with that either.
And I actually think that's a healthy thing for anybody
to
get away from whatever your job or your career is. And a lot of people, even in sports, people will talk about how, to some degree, it ruins their fandom when they work in sports because it's no longer
it's a form of entertainment.
Oh, that's totally true. Right. So it's happened to all of us.
I don't think that there's a problem with him saying, I don't watch a lot of football.
No, and I guess maybe that's kind of sort of part of the point I was trying to make was that if they're pointing out, like a guy like Stork, if they're pointing out that even among the average football player, football is important to him, isn't that in a way kind of unhealthy that he's so obsessed?
Not necessarily. Because, like, for example, Bill Belichick, I think football is important to him. But I think he really enjoys getting away and either fishing or to a lacrosse game or something. When he leaves, I think he has something else that he kind of rather.
You really think he
on.
Completely unplugs when he gets away from here?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Now that can be dangerous too, because does he do the things to get himself ready?
Oh yeah. Oh,
well, he's one of those guys. Football is very important when he's playing it.
Mm.
But how about on Wednesday when he's watching film? Is that very important to him? And those are the kinds of things that it's kind of hard
very
to tell.
Important.
Yeah. The last pick I think we mentioned was Bruce Ellington. South Carolina going to the 49ers. Justin Ellis. You mentioned him.
Then Cassius Marsh.
Cassius Marsh went to
Ross Cockrell.
Seahawks.
Apparently the Bills like Cockrell's size. Alexander to the Rams, a strong safety.
They needed Mo Alexander out
and
there.
And Russell Bodine. I like Bodine. That's like a southern name or something, I think.
Russell Bodine, I believe, just went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. What was the one before that you said I missed?
Mo Alexander.
Mo Alexander.
Okay.
Mo Oles Alexander.
I was one off.
So there was a safety prospect. Would you have been happy with him?
I don't recall liking him, but let me look him up. Utah State. Of course, there's always a chance.
The Titans are currently on the clock with half of their allotted time to go. Pick number 112. 18 picks away now from the Patriots. Next pick at 130. Let's try to get a few more emails in while we can.
Mo Alexander.
This is Mark. Doesn't say where. Again, very popular spot today. My brother and I regularly get together for the draft and have one yearly ritual. Powdered donuts.
Ooh.
Just wondering if anything was a ritual. Why am I having trouble with that word? Ritual from your individual pasts. Well, we had donuts this morning.
Well, here's the thing.
Pretty good Dunkin' donuts.
I have a little thing that I used to do, but it was so long ago.
You ought to know he has a
that they don't do the draft anywhere near this way anymore.
What, when they used to write on the chalkboard?
The draft used to be during the day, during the course of the week, midweek on ESPN. And around the time when I was in middle school, I always found a way to, you know, sort of come up with a
little headache. The transistor radio?
No, a headache that day, and I would stay home.
Really?
And I'd watch the first round or so.
Loser.
But I'd be okay if they went back to putting it middle of the day during the week, Paul.
Yeah, happening. So
32 million people watching it. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, I thought they said this. It wouldn't matter what time they were on. They'd get an audience, right?
Well, that's what I feel.
Didn't they have the biggest audience ever the other night?
Yeah.
Just wondering.
All right, we're getting to the point where these people just aren't Andy's big board.
Not in your draft board.
Two guys in a row, not on my big board.
Todd and Weymouth said, rough podcast yesterday. Really, was it that rough?
I thought it sucked when we started. I thought it was a horrible.
I thought we actually picked up steam toward the end.
We did. We were the steamrollers.
I agree with Todd.
All right. Well, Todd says, the NFL needs to cut out the special guests announcing picks. Screwed up the flow, and there were sometimes six picks behind on TV from reality.
Except for the girl in San Diego.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yep.
Loved Andy yelling at me saying you guys didn't tip picks Thursday, forgetting you tipped the easily pick, then moments later tipping the car pick to the Raiders, LOL. Paul, you said Mettenberger is, quote, only still around because of his injury, unquote.
That's what I feel.
Don't you think that's presumptuous? By all accounts,
yes,
he'll be ready for training camp. Any chance teams just don't like him as much as you guys and the draft hype wasn't real?
Well, the knee is also absolutely the late back injury that everybody started talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, no, is that, but it's presumptuous? Absolutely. Mm. Yes, that's
what
I'm presuming.
Do?
Yeah, I mean, as an analyst, you're
guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Tennessee just took DaQuan Jones, a Penn State defensive tackle. One of Billy O'Brien's former charges there.
He played for the Chargers? I thought he went to Penn State.
Chargers.
Penn State.
Well, I mean, Paul.
Oh, you didn't even have him on your big board? Oh, Andy.
Oh, no. I got him. Sorry. So sorry.
Penn State's one of the schools we didn't get tape from.
I don't really understand
That's
that.
Unfortunate. And, yeah, very very bizarre, too, seeing the connection there.
Tennessee.
This is a sort of a...
Kelsey Quarles still on the board?
I believe so,
according
yes.
to my big board. That's interesting.
I like him.
Anthony Johnson, Daniel McCullers. There's definitely some big-bodied tackles that the Patriots are going to dip into at one of these picks. No doubt in my mind.
No doubt. This is sort of a philosophical question.
If the tree falls.
No, this is from.
And a hot girl is
this
sitting
is,
on it.
This is from Al in Italy, from Sicilia to be precise. I have a general question about the draft. Is it better to draft someone with lots of talent but a lack in discipline, or the opposite? Can you teach a talent? And once again, less Andy and more Paul.
You cannot teach a talent.
You can't teach
talent. I hope your head is up a whale's ass and he no poop.
I don't really know what that meant.
That's what he told me when I ran the marathon. It was like a don't break a leg type thing. He hoped my head was up in a whale's ass and that the whale doesn't poop. It's like an Italian phrase or something.
Okay.
You can't teach talent.
No.
You also can't teach work ethic generally. I mean, people are who they are. That's why you're fine. There are some hot chicks getting their diplomas at this...
the pharmacy school.
Yeah. Some pharmacists that I'd like... Do you have any questions for the pharmacist? Why, yes, I do.
Have any of that there, Viagra?
My groin hurts. Can I show it to you?
The Boston College running back, Andre Williams, just went to the Giants.
There is such a pipeline from there to there, huh?
Yeah, there is.
Hi.
Yeah, there is.
Thanks.
Giants, and that's the Tom Coughlin connection from way back.
Is that all it is?
I don't know. There might be more to it than that, but seems like since he's been there, that's a school that they've taken some players.
Yeah, they certainly have. Linemen and defensive linemen, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Williams goes 113. That's interesting.
And the Jets are the next pick, I believe. No, two
Jaguars.
Picks. Two picks for the Jets.
Yeah, Jaguars, then Jets, then Raiders.
The Raiders.
Your next three picks. Okay, we have Tyler in Virginia. I like the Stork pick. I think we all remember Knighton busting through the middle of our line to end our playoff run. Hope Easley can help us finally get some pressure on opposing QBs.
Didn't he beat Logan Mankins?
Terrence Knighton, yeah, he had a good game against
that. Am I misremembering that?
No, that was Logan Mankins.
Yeah, it was Mankins.
So Stork's going to replace Mankins.
Well, the other part of that that is flawed is that Stork is better than what you have. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. Mm,
I bet he is.
I think he's probably better than Ryan Wendell.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a philosophical thing. Maybe Googe likes bigger centers. Maybe this is the first imprint of our new offensive line coach.
Well,
do
you think he has that much pull this early in his career?
Well, if you hired him, you in some degree might need to go with his philosophies, no? Or on some level?
I think it might be a little too early for that.
I do, too. But I was just posing it.
Okay. All right. No, I'd be stunned if there was that much influence on the pick by the brand new offensive line coach.
Jimmy Garoppolo likes big centers since he's the quarterback of the future. Maybe he wants a big center in front of him.
Well, that would be even more surprising if they had a draft pick influence what the next draft pick.
Do you think they brought him in and said, "What kind of center would you like?"
Yeah.
They're running Tom out of time.
Right.
We have a quarterback situation. I don't know if you knew.
Tyler in Virginia continues. On Garoppolo, I guess we'll see. Hope he's better than Mallett, O'Connell, Robinson, Tebow, Castle, Kingsbury, Davey, etc. And it would be amazing better than Brady.
Matt Castle led you to 11 wins.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo's got a ways to go before we can say, yes, you hope he's better than Kevin O'Connell so you don't cut him in year one. You hope he's better than Ryan Mallett so he improves over his three developmental seasons.
This is what happens when you get in the draft and it's like the middle rounds and the picks start coming. Chris Mortensen, Tennessee picks Andre Williams, Boston College, led nation with 2,100 yards. Second back, the Titans took Bishop Sankey. The Giants took him, a pick after Tennessee had already selected.
Hey, have you heard him? He likes to drink. Aaron Colvin, 114.
We're all struggling at this point, Paul. You've got to cut him a little slack, right?
Oh, I'm cutting him slack. I just think what Andy just said was not necessarily cutting him slack.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard him on EEI?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that what you say is true, just because he sounds a little funny.
Okay.
All right, a lot of emails coming in here. Mike.
Andy's got him in rehab.
Mike from Austria. I'll be there next month.
Austria? You going to Austria?
Yeah. Do you think our
What are you going to Austria for?
3 days.
You're going to Austria for 3 days?
Because I'll be in Hungary for 3 days, Austria for 3 days, and the Czech Republic for 3 days. Going on a little 10-day tour of Central Europe.
Any turmoil over there?
Close to there. Not actually in there.
You're going to check it out?
see, only if I don't get too hungry.
Are you hungry?
anyway, this is Mike from Austria. Do you think our O is good enough to beat the improved Denver D? We had no chance last year, and they have Ware, Tlaib, and Ward now. Why do we win this year against them?
Well, we hope that our D is better to stop their O.
Yeah, I think that you increased your personnel as well as the Fred Kirsch theory of the personnel that you already had is hopefully going to be a little bit more healthy than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter just reporting here, Eagles, per a league source, traded Bryce Brown to the Bills, which I think is interesting for Buffalo with Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller already there.
Yeah.
Crowded backfield.
Can never have too much talent.
I wonder if that means the end for somebody.
Fred Jackson, I would assume.
Probably Fred Jackson, yeah.
C.J. Spiller.
Yeah. Yeah, Spiller.
Fred Jackson's a little older.
Yeah.
Took a long route.
Took
to
him
the
a while
NFL
to get there.
And, mm-hmm. You know, all that.
Andy.
Yes.
This is Mari from Sweden.
Mari.
Stoudemire?
Is this Sven?
He didn't sign it that way, but.
That is what I call him.
Andy, don't hate on Jimmy. He's the future, and you better be licking the floor he walks when Brady leaves because he's going to be the heir apparent.
So I know.
Let him sit behind Brady and hope he is somewhat of an Aaron Rodgers.
He is the heir apparent. ERR.
Evidently, it was for two future picks. that Buffalo traded for Bryce Brown.
Future picks. Like conditional or just?
It doesn't say. It just says two future picks. So I assume next year's draft. But that potentially that's three picks out of next year's draft they lose. Do you think Bryce Brown is worth two picks, even if they're like both seventh rounders?
Not really.
That's a little strange to me.
Maybe the Bills are going all in.
The Bills are clearly going all in. The
window's closing in Buffalo.
The window hasn't been open in years, Andy.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. Yemi in Texas chimes in. Is there a chance?
Yummy.
Is there a chance that Brady is the one that gets traded?
Yes.
Remember, Brett Favre was coming off a great year and NFC Championship loss when the Packers decided to go with Aaron Rodgers. That same offseason, Packers drafted Brian Brohm in the second round. There are some similarities here. The Packers team was built to win now, but with a lot of young players, just like the Patriots. Obviously, the big question is whether the Patriots feel as good about Mallett as the Packers felt about Rodgers.
The one flaw is Favre kept talking about retiring, retiring, retiring.
Yeah.
And he retired.
Brady has not talked about
retiring. And then didn't want to retire. Brady just doesn't want to retire. He has never jerked this team around as far as I am knowing. So I think that's a major, major difference. But, yes, we've talked about the contract. Do you have breaking news?
No. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Continue. It's related to this, but you can.
Go ahead.
Just the notion, because this is something that sort of piqued my interest
Shaq
last
Evans.
Night.
Now I'm going to interrupt you.
Okay, that's all right. They just picked Shaq Evans?
Jets, adding another weapon. Haven't they added a lot of weapons?
Yeah, I don't love him. I'm not necessarily considering him a weapon.
I thought I liked Shaq. Shaq Evans, transferred from Notre Dame, great build, adjust to the ball, punt returner, hands catcher, not overly quick, has some concentration issues, that might be good. Decent body control. I liked him. That's a solid mid-size receiver. Michael?
The whole...
Michael, you're
got some
body.
News from PR? What do we got?
Brian Stork's bio.
Excellent.
He's from Vero Beach.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Don't we have somebody else from Vero Beach?
I wanted to get to the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers. Vero Beach. I wanted to get back to the Aaron Rodgers comparison because I don't necessarily buy this whole
Dodgers,
thing.
Rodgers, Vero Beach.
The emailer just said, you know, they were coming off an AFC Championship game. Well, that's not true. In 2004, the Packers went 10-6 and lost in the first round of the wild card game. As Andy correctly points out, Brett Favre was constantly talking about retiring.
Yep.
So they drafted Aaron Rodgers in 2005. In 2005, the Packers went 4-12. Okay? And he still didn't get his job until 3 years in. So they didn't draft Aaron Rodgers coming off an AFC Championship game. They decided to go to Aaron Rodgers after... despite the fact that they had some success, because Brett Favre was constantly saying, I'm retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same thing. I don't think Tom keeps saying, I want to play for 10 more years.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't think it's this, I don't think it's really analogous. I don't think there's really a lot of similarities to it.
Well, it's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and somebody drafted a quarterback relatively high.
Yeah.
That's basically the similarities. You're right. There's other non-similarities. But the Favre thing is a little Parcellian, where the Patriots didn't feel like they could count on Bill Parcells long-term because every year he was thinking of retiring and whatever. It's hard to invest in a guy and really go all-in on a guy if a guy's not invested in being all-in with you.
Mm-hmm. If football's not important to him.
That's right. Right, especially your football.
Yeah. Boy, we are really killing it in Europe in this first hour. Wolfgang in Switzerland. Hey, guys.
Nobody in America gives a rat's ass. it's Saturday. They got stuff to do.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Well, they have stuff to do in Europe, too, on Saturday.
Do they play T-ball over there?
I don't know.
Probably not, huh?
Probably not.
They probably play with just balls.
Kick around. Soccer. Yeah, 3-on-3.
Well, you know. Kick around is called soccer. You can start it kick whether about. You're 2 or whether you're 100.
Wolfgang says, I think the Easley pick is okay as far as they need to rush the passer more. I hope Easley can help us in that regard. I don't like the fact that we drafted a QB just because I think it's not that big of a need. I have a question for you. Are there a lot of QBs that were backups for 4 years and had success?
No.
Aaron Rodgers, the obvious, but besides him.
Steve McNair would be one that I think he sat for 2 full years.
But that was pure design.
Yeah.
They thought he was a raw, athletic, lower-level, must-sit.
And I'll give you the similarity for that. This is a 1AA guy like Steve McNair, not the same style of quarterback. I understand what you're talking about,
no,
Andy.
But also,
a 1AA quarterback that didn't have a lot of
crap.
Was it? They took him in like the top five. They were.
Oh yeah, he was a high pick.
I mean, he didn't sit behind Tom Brady.
No,
he sat behind. We're sitting you.
Yeah.
No, like Blake Bortles,
they
by
sat
all
him by
accounts,
design, is going
will
to
not
sit.
Step on the field this year.
They
not because they have a good quarterback, because they think Blake Bortles
they
needs to be
They keep saying Chad Henne will be the starter.
Right.
I don't know if they're smoke screening it, trying to lower expectations, trying to lower the
that's
pressure
totally
on Bortles.
That's different than sitting behind Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's the starter.
I don't know what has gotten into Oakland, but I think they're making some good picks. Keith McGill.
Well, I'll tell you what got out of Oakland. The dead coot.
Yeah, years ago.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
It's
two.
Been a few years.
I think it's only been two drafts.
Well, no, you know what? It was the year we went to Oakland. That was...
That's been longer than I thought, then.
Ridley's rookie year.
Yeah.
This...
he was already gone then.
Because it was the week...
I think.
It was the week after we played them.
Okay.
It was that. That's
Keith
it was.
McGill was a second to third round projection based on NFL Draft Scout. 4.440, had a very slow three cone. He's played free safety, could end up there. Special teamer, long, physical.
He's big. He might be a safety.
Not quick. Questionable ball skills. He sucks.
I don't think he sucks.
He sucks.
Final note from Wolfgang. He says, love your show. Keeps me entertained while yogging.
I don't think he sucks.
While yogging.
You're yogging?
Yeah. Well, he wrote jogging. But
he's yogging in Europe?
Jogging. Might be a soft J. Yeah. Yeah, really? not a lot of people in Europe are into the yogging.
Really?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not as big a thing as it is over here.
Because they all smoke and drink.
Rodak says it's only one pick for the Bryce Brown thing, and it's a conditional 15 fourth-round pick that could become a 16 third-round pick. Still more than I would have given up for Bryce Brown. Mm. I don't know how you guys feel.
I would not have given that much up for Bryce
Seems
Brown.
Seems like a lot.
No. Ray from New York. Love the Garoppolo pick, gentlemen.
Somebody
makes perfect
does.
Sense.
Does
as Paul it? Said earlier during the tight end discussion, if you like a guy, you get the guy. Knowing Brady's nearing the end of his career, this was a great time to snag a seemingly good replacement. We all know not every QB out there can fit into this system. Finding one, getting him now, giving him 2 years to learn behind Brady is a smart decision. We should not assume we could have waited another year or two, as the right guy may not have been there. If we find a better fit in 2015, we can always trade Garoppolo. I, for one, applaud Bill. Except for the first-round pick. Those ACLs scare me. Ray from New York.
What you're
so
missing.
You're okay if he doesn't beat out Brady in 2 years, because I don't think there's any chance he beats out Brady in 2 years.
I also like the different people, like 3 years, 2 years, 4 years, where people have that kind of...
Yeah.
I also think I get back to my thing with Fred. Are you really that good where you don't need to add people? Because Fred first said they're the best team in football, and yes, they have the luxury of just adding a guy. I don't actually agree with that. I do not think they are the best team in football and, you know, don't need to fill some holes. I also think Bill Belichick was asked a misleading question. I missed it where Nick Caserio said that they could field a very competitive football team or something. I thought he said they could field a team. I don't think he said very competitive. I thought that was misleading and erroneous.
You're probably right. Mm. To me, you just hit on it, what the part of it that sort of has me a little bit bothered. The 2 years, the 3 years, the 4 years. I think those people just say in 2, 3, 4 years like it's the same.
Right.
I think it changes dramatically. If he is really developing and he's coming on in 2 years, you have to say, like, this kid's ready to play. We got to play him. That makes the pick a lot better in my mind. If he's so good that he's pushing Brady, and I'm not saying I want this. This is not my Brady thing.
Of course you want this. You've been trying to run the guy out of town for months.
Stop. This is not
years.
This is not the sarcastic Paul Brady thing. If he's so good he's developing so fast that he's pushing Brady out the door in 2 years, it becomes a much better pick.
Better pick.
I don't see that happening.
Not happening.
Do you?
No.
Eric, do you? Because you like the pick.
Do you
see it happening?
I do like the pick. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, but no, I think they'll stick with Brady as long as
she's
can.
She's cute. He's big.
So, to me, if he's not ready to sort of push Brady out the door before we all think he's going to leave, then I don't think it's worth, you know, if 4 years he's there to sort of take over, like Andy said, I think you blew opportunity to get your team better.
The reason I think that, Paul.
Ooh, Kadeem Carey went to the Bears.
The reason I think that
is because
it's similar in some ways to the Bledsoe-Brady situation, but different in that while Bledsoe was your, you know, first overall pick, franchise QB for a decade or so, he had, and he got you to a Super Bowl, he hadn't won any Super Bowls. It's a little bit different with Brady and his legacy here and what he means to this organization that I think they might not be as quick to pull the trigger on him, even though Bill always likes to say it's better to do it sooner rather than later. He kind of hinted at that last night.
Right.
I think it'd be a little bit more difficult to justify in Brady's case, given everything that he's done and meant to the organization. Now, I'm not saying that that completely precludes them from doing that, because Bill will do anything he wants, obviously. But I think it'll be tougher to make that transition as clean and clear-cut as it was with Brady and Bledsoe. So,
yeah, but I mean, now we're talking about an injury, and that can change things.
Sure.
I'm talking about Brady continues to play at a level close to what he's been playing.
It's going to be
hard.
All right,
let's go, guy. You're holding up the line.
It's going to be hard for Garoppolo to bait him out if that's the case.
Yeah.
Who are you yelling at?
It becomes a wasted pick.
Some guy was like having a 10-minute conversation with the school president or whoever, shaking hands, and everybody was like, traffic was backing up behind him. You get your 1 second, move along. You're not more special than any of the other 500 people. What?
Providing analysis on the commencement ceremony.
Well, why is he different? There's literally how many hundreds and hundreds?
Yeah.
They all got it. You shake and go. You shake and go. You shake and go. He stops and has a conversation with the guy.
Your boy Kevin Colbert, Andy.
Yeah, Steelers just made a selection at 118.
Oh, yeah. You know what that reminds me of? The guy I liked out of Texas, the tall, long receiver.
Lima Swede?
Bust!
Kadeem Carey, running back.
Yeah, Paul likes him.
Arizona.
He likes guys with beat up pregnant girlfriends.
Yeah. Zach, are you
beat
still
up his
in
pregnant
there?
Girlfriends.
He did too.
Yeah. Really, you have an eye for those.
You really got to start reading the bios. See, there is a method to it. I want to watch them without knowing the preconceived thoughts. And that sometimes gets me in trouble, because then there's like major things like that slip through the cracks on you.
Zach, if you're still down in the studio, give me a little heads up there. I wanted to take a quick break while we have a chance before the
break.
Patriots come up at pick number 130. Wanted to grab a couple of slices of pizza if there's any left out there.
I'm here whenever you're ready.
Okay, so we'll take a quick break right now. 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. Pats are going to be on the clock two more times. They're scheduled to be on the clock two more times in this round. And we'll get to more of your reaction, comments, emails, phone calls about the picks they've made so far and what you hope they pick right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Your Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, and Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games. Be there at Boston Garden for all the playoff action. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you will always get the best seats at the lowest prices. Ace has your tickets to all of the summer's biggest concerts. Luke Bryan, Billy Joel, Zach Brown, One Direction, and Katy Perry. Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Who do you think the Patriots should pick next? Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to PFW Draft Central and Fred Kirsch.
And while we were during the break, taking a little bit of a food break, about six or seven people got their diplomas from the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy.
One was Sum Ting Wong.
And Wee Too Low. Yeah.
And some girl whose last name was Nosaki.
That's unfortunate.
Yep.
We're on pick number 121. Patriots are up next at one.
Before we get in trouble for that little joke, we're making reference to that.
San Francisco thing. Yeah,
yes. We're not suggesting.
No.
I just wanted to get that out.
The only Wong we know is John, right?
From Hong Kong?
John Wong,
yes.
From Hong Kong.
Yes.
Got a big dong.
Whoa. How would you know?
I don't know. Probably not. He's from Hong Kong.
We meant no disrespect.
he's just taking shots at everything today.
Logan Thomas is gone. I know some Patriots fans were intrigued by him as a developmental tight end or athlete. He went to the Cardinals. My guy Keim getting it done.
Keim.
Right place, right Keim.
So getting very close again to the Patriots' next pick. Where the picks are coming in quicker now. But Christian from Denmark, again, big in Europe.
Yeah, why? It is a little weird. I think Americans are doing stuff, and we're
I don't know.
The Danes like us.
Hey, guys, just took a look at our new center. Does Andy have any fear regarding his skinny legs? Looks like a certain linebacker from a few years ago.
Really? I hadn't noticed that. I'll have to get back to you on that when I see him in person. Relatively soon.
Yeah, I actually thought he had a pretty good base.
I'm
not the offensive line expert that Andy is.
That's true.
But I didn't really have a problem with that.
John from Atlanta says Stork might be the only draftee who sees the field in 2014. A useful pick, finally. Protecting Brady, a good thing. Tommy still needs toys, though.
Why do we need to protect him? We have the heir.
You have the what?
The heir.
Oh, the heir. Apparent.
Now we should just be like running the option, trying to break him.
No.
I must beg you.
You don't want to force that.
No, I don't.
Let's see. Excuse me. Keanu from Arizona.
Reeves.
I went back and reheard yesterday's podcast. You guys were joking about getting a quarterback in round two. Well, what do you think about it now? Hashtag Jimmy.
And well, I also want to praise our draft analyst, Rob Rang of NFLDraftScout.com. In his round two mock yesterday, had Jimmy Garoppolo going to the New England Patriots.
Did he?
And he was not alone.
I emailed him last night to congratulate him, and he said, you know what they say about blind squirrels.
Well, he was being self-deprecating. He's pretty good, though.
He's great. That's why we have him. Draft coverage.
We like his analysis, and I think that he is one of the better guys in terms of having a feel.
All right,
where these guys are going to get taken.
Keanu continues. What I meant to say about Kadeem Carey, he's consistent, and our running backs aren't. Our meaning New England's. Stephen Ridley's a fumbling machine. Shane Vereen is injury prone. When the Patriots try to go for a guy with elite skill, most of the time it never works out. but when the Patriots get an average player, it works out. P.S.
Well, I wouldn't say they went for Stephen Ridley with elite skill.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he was a different skill set.
I would agree with the first part about that, though. Carey, and you mentioned him last night, 3 years of basically very consistent production. He is a consistent guy, and the guys that we have a
lot of carries
have not been consistent, right? Would you agree?
Yes. Right.
I would agree with that emailer. I apologize. I forget the emailer's name. But
Keanu. As in Reeves.
I agree with that sentiment. We have some interesting skill set among Vereen and Ridley and to a lesser extent Bolden, but they're extremely inconsistent for everything that they do.
How you doing?
Jay in Massachusetts.
Andy continues to be infatuated with the Mass College of Pharmacy.
I got to tell you. They're putting some talent out there today.
They are, and there's a light breeze that blows open their gowns to show their short skirts underneath, so we're seeing a little leg, and there's got to be a 100-to-1 female-to-male ratio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who knew?
Should have been a pharmacist.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was such
All right, you've had yours.
Wow, one guy just mucked it up for the camera, and Andy did not like it.
Jay in Massachusetts.
If she was showing cleavage, she would say,
stay on there.
Take it off, baby.
Jay in Massachusetts. Guys, the reason everyone's emailing from Europe is because the guys here have given up. I really don't know what to make of this draft. I'm not sure if we've really improved our team for this year or what's really the matter with Brady's window closing.
Well, you can say, I think, right now, you haven't improved your team for this year in this draft. Now, that doesn't make it a bad draft.
Why?
Because
you don't think Stork could play and help you be a better offensive line?
Probably not.
Very negative.
I don't think that he's better right now than what you have. And I'm not sure Easley is ready to really contribute right away.
I agree with that.
And I know Garoppolo is not. So I don't think you've really done much to help your team immediately. But that doesn't make it a bad draft.
No, but it doesn't make it a great draft.
Well, it could be. You really can't grade these things for 3 years, Andy.
Yeah, right. I like the schedule. It's always better to do it at the end of the year and at the end of the guy's career.
Carl Bradford went to the Green Bay Packers. He is an interesting guy. Some people thought the Patriots might be interested. 6'1", 250.
Outside linebacker, or inside, if you will.
He was an outside linebacker. He was an inside linebacker. There's some question as to what he's going to be in the NFL. But he's a real emotional, productive guy. Stays low, protects his legs, gets under the tackles, finishes, has an edge, kind of a nice linebacker mentality and style of play, and I thought he might be a potential, given that, a depth guy in the Spikes mold, but with maybe a little more versatility, but unfortunately, old friend, whatever the guy's name is who was here for a while now, is the Green Bay DC.
Apparently, we really are sleep-deprived and are running out of gas.
Dom Capers.
Because one of our other emailers wrote in commenting on the email about the stork and the skinny legs comment.
Yeah.
We bought that one, hook, line, and sinker.
Good job.
Yep. You got to give us a little,
I'm sorry.
Slack
we
here.
Haven't gotten a lot of sleep. I had to get up relatively early to go to T-ball practice.
Yep, we just came in and hit send and hoped for the best.
Hope for the best. We haggard-eat it.
Yeah. We're feeling a little haggard today.
Yeah.
Luis.
Paul's as big as him.
Luis in Tampa. Guys, love the show. My question.
Not even close. I'm sorry. That was not right.
I didn't even see the guy. I just don't see why you need to take a shot at me.
No, I was comparing you to Joe Haggerty.
Oh, man.
No, that's
he's
not,
like two of you.
I often...
What do you weigh, like 215?
Probably less than that. Probably like 205.
You only weigh 205?
Ish. 205,
210. I stop making fun of you for being 10 pounds lighter than me.
I try to make a habit
You're about 10 pounds more than him now.
I try to make a habit of staying away from scales because, you never know. You get up, it's like 225, and you're like, oh, man. I don't know. Probably.
So
I would
Joe
Haggerty's got to
go like 280. He's got to be like 5'9", 280.
Yeah, and as much as I always say, listen, I'm just not into this game today, I'm going to mail it in, I've never done that. I always give you an effort. There was no effort to that.
No.
Whatever it was that he...
Okay, proceed.
All right, filed.
Tight end talk. Luis in Tampa. Guys, love the show. My question is...
Artie.
Artie.
Now, my question is, do you think tight end from Oregon, Colt Lyerla, would be a good fit? I think
no.
he would fit perfectly as the move tight end like Hernandez. The size, speed, aggressiveness would give poor Brady a weapon. Keep up the good work. F the Jets.
So we really don't care that the man
I do.
Left the team.
I care.
So there was a parting of ways there, and then subsequently was arrested for cocaine use.
I do. I don't want the guy.
I don't either, and I don't see how any fan in the post-Hernandez era would legitimately want to bring that into the locker room,
because
into the organization, and into the...
Because a lot of people don't care
whatever.
About all that extraneous stuff. They just care about winning on the field.
Eric is right.
About. Some
Eric
of
is right.
Not everybody. Not everybody.
No, I didn't say everybody.
There's a small portion...
There are a lot of them, though.
That don't care about any of that stuff. All they care about is winning games at any cost, and I don't think that's the way to operate. I really don't. I like.
I don't either, but Paul does.
No, but I'm with him.
He loves Jeremy Hill. He loves Kadeem Carey.
No, I'm just not. I don't. I need to know more information on guys. That's all.
Guys.
And there are certain
guys.
Things that I don't care if it's only one time that they're out.
Mm.
Yes. And that's the Jeremy Hill situation I told you. If that was a sexual assault, some sort of rape, he's out. He's off my board. I don't tell you, I don't need it to be one-time thing. But I need to know more information before I just automatically decide that.
Mm-hmm.
A situation with marijuana.
I
don't have to be, like, you know, Father Perillo. Okay, he's off. No, all right. Kid, you know, the college kids, they
cocaine.
Make mistakes. The
cocaine
is different. That escalates it.
Yeah.
And that makes that,
you well, know. Synthetic marijuana.
It's also not the same. It's not the only... transgression that Lyerla had.
What about prescription painkillers?
Just a one-time thing? Like,
I don't know.
Like what is it? Is he selling prescription painkillers?
He had a bag of them coming over the border.
That's poor judgment to me. That's something I got to look long and hard at. But it's, you know what I mean? It's a case-by-case basis.
I do tend
to be a little bit preachy with this, and I do understand that. But I don't just eliminate everybody. Oh, they pushed the Bruins-Canadians game time back to 7:30 today, by the way.
That's good, right?
It's good for us.
Good for us.
Good
yeah.
for us.
I was
by us, you mean me, since you're
yeah.
leaving at like 4.
It's good for everybody.
Craig in Brockville, Ontario.
Because I won't be home at 7.
Craig in Brockville, Ontario is deeming this the worst draft ever already. He says, guys, we've gotten no help. This draft sucks. They'll all be cut in 2 years.
You're really
years.
Making me feel bad. You've really been making fun of me a lot, because one time in 15 years I want to leave the third day of the draft a little early, and you've really been hammering me for it.
I'm sorry. At least you came in. It's more than Fred.
Fred had a legitimate...
not to Andy, it wasn't.
You see Dave
Gettleman? Andy says, it's over anyway. What's the difference? What do you got to be there for? Whether he graduates or not, it's over.
Dave Gettleman is cyber drafting from Worcester for his son's
Becker
graduation.
College.
At a college I've never heard of. But yeah, he's Skyping in his picks or something.
No. What about that Ontario emailer?
Worst
draft ever. Worst draft ever. All the guys are going to be cut in 2 years.
Well, it's not the worst draft ever. They've had much worse.
Well, 2000, what was it, 2007?
And remember, they have, what, 6 picks
or
left?
8. 2007, right? Where they only had,
yeah.
Like Kareem Brown was like a really high pick, and he was gone. And
2007 was the draft they supposedly passed.
Right,
yeah.
But
yeah.
We still have 6 picks to go.
Yeah.
What's Norwood's first name, the kicker from Alabama? Kevin?
I don't know.
Oh, is he the...
He was the slot receiver.
He just got taken. Oh, yeah, that's what I... What did I say? Kicker?
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm having a hard time. Is it? It's Kevin
Scott
Norwood.
Scott Norwood is the kicker for the Bills.
Kevin
Norwood. Yes, it's Kevin Norwood.
That's what I was asking.
He's
his
a slot
name.
Receiver. He's
I meant,
pretty good.
I meant receiver. It's actually right in front of me. It says Alabama WR, Kevin Norwood.
Did you have a stroke?
I may have.
If the Patriots didn't have many slot receivers, I would have... dubbed him a possible Patriot, but, you know, how many slot receivers are you going to have?
For the Patriots, 4.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Seattle. 123, I believe.
I want to read an email, Eric.
All right, Patrick. Patrick from Alexandria. Who do you think's the best tight end available for the Pats? And that's his first question. And two, will the Pats trade Mallett before the draft ends?
No.
Didn't sound like it the way Bill was talking last
year. I'm going to stick with my feeling that he does not get traded.
He's here.
Yeah, I at this point I don't
he's
think
here.
I think all three are going to end up on the roster.
I agree. The question is who's going to be number 2 on the depth chart?
Does number 2
My feeling will be Mallett.
I can't tell you what my feeling will be. My feeling right now is mallet. My feeling will
it
be
change
different
he,
potentially in August.
Right.
If this guy's as good as they think he is, then he might be ready.
Yeah. I mean,
Go ahead. Tight end thing, Arthur Lynch, legitimately, you're in his ballpark now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 7 picks away we are.
Xavier Grimble out of USC would be an option. Joe Don Duncan out of Dixie State, who only Mike Mayock knows about. Rob Blanchflower.
Sounds like the right kind of name for Dixie State, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, no question, Joe Don Duncan. And you got a little later, guys, maybe Jacob Peterson, Jordan Navarre. Oh, no, it's got a weird saying. Niver. And
he's pronouncing it wrong.
Jake Murphy out of Utah, Dale Murphy's son.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Not that
connection
Dale
there
Murphy, but.
Oh, okay.
No, it is, actually. I'm just kidding.
Not the only Dale Murphy in the world,
this
right?
This guy lives down the street from me, Dale Murphy.
This is Dan from way up north in Bath, New Hampshire.
Is that way up north?
That's what he says.
Oh.
Guys.
I thought you knew where Bath, New Hampshire
was. No, that's what he wrote. Guys, great coverage the last 2 days. Appreciate the critical and honest analysis. That's why I listen to you and not ESPN, nor do I bother to read the Globe or Herald anymore. Garoppolo was a head-scratcher for
gorgeous
me. Would have much rather seen the pick.
This looks like Janet Reno. Now we have Jay Bukowski, BSP-62 chairman.
Are you...
Sorry, go ahead.
You're interested?
As we continue to wrap up the Mass College Pharmacy commencement program. Well, this is the closing statements.
Dan said that Garoppolo was a head-scratcher for him. He'd much rather would have seen Lewis Nix or Fedorowicz be the pick there and hoped that Mettenberger would be there when we picked in the third round.
Yep, I can concur with all of that.
But what do I know, he says. I've given up hoping to be excited on draft weekend. The last time that happened was when we picked Bledsoe. That being said, things seem to have worked out all right since then. Not sure if it's because Bill's a better drafter than we give him credit for or the real reason is we have a great QB.
It's a very, very good drafter.
Anyway, looking forward to the Day 3 podcast. Andy, any chance you'll be given an expanded role with EEI on Patriots Monday this year? Really enjoy the show when you're on. Just try to keep Dale from talking too much.
Send
and
some texts and emails in to tell them you'd like to see me have an expanded role. Because I would like to see me have an expanded role.
Expanded like as in getting out of here?
Anything that expands my pocketbook. I don't actually use a pocketbook, but
yes, you
know what I mean.
You have a nice little man purse that you carry around.
I've been known to wear a fanny pack.
Yeah.
When you travel, sometimes you got to have stuff convenient.
Did you run with the fanny pack?
No, I had a little thing just held my phone.
Mm. All right. Again, killing it in Europe. This is Joseph.
Joseph.
From the Czech Republic.
Oh, you're going to be there soon.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay at his house?
No. I have accommodations already set. This is Andy, Paul, Kevin, Eric. Well, Kevin's not here today. Neither is Fred. I'm writing in from the Czech Republic in a city called Brno between Prague and Vienna. It's a beautiful sunny day, about 68 degrees, and it's only 7:15 p.m. I think you guys are taking Europe by storm because we're excited to be able to participate in the whole team-building process. Post-selection online analysis, which we can all agree is the most important part of the whole deal. Mixed emotions on the draft so far. Fingers crossed for the easily selection for obvious reasons, but I love Andy's larger point in that the type of player might be more important than anything. Read and react defense has gotten us close, but it's time to try something new. I'm taken aback by the Brady heir apparent nonsense. Curious to hear your thoughts. And I wanted to come out of the fourth round with tight end, center/guard, strong safety. So far, so good. I'm trying to decide if Bill's snubbing his nose at the rest of the league, still committed to employing tight ends who are versatile in that. He didn't finish his thought in that sentence. In any case, keep on keeping on. You're part of what keeps me sane while living overseas. I grew up in Maine, went to Bryant, past home of Patriots training camp. Excited to have just purchased preseason tickets for game one, since it matches up well with my vacation this year. Keep up the great work. F the Jets and Jay Samaro.
DeAnthony Thomas just went to your Kansas City Chiefs with the 124th selection.
So we're
good replacement for Dexter McCluster.
Where'd he go?
Tennessee, I believe.
Oh, McCluster.
Dolphins, AFC East are on the clock. They're a little less than halfway through their allotted time. We're at pick 125. Patriots are at 130. Then again at 140, they're scheduled to
Very pick. Interesting time period here.
Yep, it's getting exciting. We're ramping up as we get closer to that spot. Quickly, John from Ann Arbor wants to know, who's the best remaining defensive line prospects?
Defensive line. Now, I'm going to assume we're going to look
at the ends.
Baddies.
Or the biggins.
Well, I'll look at the tackles first.
Okay.
And then we will look at some of the ends. Will Sutton out of Arizona State was a 2-3 projection by our friends at NFL Draft Scout. I did not like him very much. Kelsey Quarles out of South Carolina, 2-3 projection. I did not love him. Anthony Johnson out of LSU, I did really like. 6'2", 308, good-sized athlete. McCullers.
Sutton went in the middle of the third round.
Where'd he go?
Chicago.
What number?
18th in the round. No, 82 overall.
82. Chicago. Okay, Will Sutton not available. Should probably check my best available that I wrote on the web last night. Daniel McCullers out of Tennessee is just a behemoth of a man. 6'7", 352. Just absolutely throws people around. Should have been a Mountaineer, not a Volunteer, because the man is massive. George Uko,
so is his
Uko out of USC, I like as more of a penetrator. He'd be more of a similarity to go with Easley. A couple others.
Surprised he didn't snicker at that, Paul. Penetrator.
Oh, yeah. DeAndre Coleman out of Cal is a guy, long, nice length. Probably could play some end or tackle. Kerry Hyder out of Texas
Penetrator
Tech.
Penetrator length.
6'2", 290. He's a quick swim move guy who can shed a little bit. Pretty good athlete, more of a penetrator. And Ken Bishop out of Northern Illinois, if we want to keep hitting up the Illinois schools,
okay,
is an interesting guy. Some pop and some power. Very good motor, athletic.
Eastern, Northern, then we'll get something late from Southern, the Salukis.
The Salukis.
Yep. Now, the whole Michigan Peninsula.
You were looking at end. Jackson Jeffcoat is still available. He was a projected 3.
I liked him.
Chris Smith out of Arkansas, still available. Outside linebacker type, pretty good production there, although you know how that works out. Somebody by the name of Michael Sam, a seventh-round type guy. Aaron Lynch out of South Florida. Let me see. Any guys I liked that the whole group of Stanford, there's a couple of those left. Is my guy Kareem Martin? No, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
He went
84
today
to Arizona.
Yeah, nobody's, I mean, not really surprising. But
Taylor Hart still available if you want to add a Hart.
Michael Sam has not been talked about much recently.
No, our friend or foe, whatever you want to call him, Ian Rappaport at NFL Network.
Frenemy.
Listed the Patriots as one of the possibilities to select Michael Sam today. Greg Bedard said no chance, not a scheme fit. And those two then decided to fight for a while. A little twisting match.
Uh-huh.
Little Kirsch Borges-like back and forth on Twitter. But yeah, Sam is, you know, late in the draft. He's a possibility for someone. And it'll be interesting to see how that is played based on his football skills versus his, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Clint from Omaha.
Can you say gayness?
You just did.
Oh.
Are you asking permission?
No.
Or forgiveness?
I don't need permission.
Okay.
Just don't want to get fired.
Clint in Omaha. You've said way worse than that.
And gayness?
And you're still here, so.
That is true.
Well, like, you're not allowed to say sexual preference because it's not a preference. It's not a choice.
They didn't say sexual choice. I don't understand that. The word preference doesn't mean choice.
I actually
it's
think
what you prefer.
Sexual preference.
It's what you want.
But that implies that you've tried them all.
But like, I mean, we don't have to
I
get
prefer a filet mignon
orientation
over a T-bone.
Orientation.
That was exactly my thing. There's a kind of steak that I like better.
Mm. Yeah,
that's
but it also
preference.
Implies you've tried the others. So you're bi.
Well, you just think that
you prefer women, right, Paul?
But you think that you think
you tried some men.
You think every gay person
I dabbled in college,
but you think every gay person has never tried the other?
No, I don't think everyone has, though, necessarily.
No, I know that, but I mean, I don't think there's anything disrespectful about the word preference. I
didn't either, but
some
I know you don't. This thing.
Oh, I know. Did you read like the Rolling Stone thing?
No,
it was ridiculous.
I don't read Rolling Stone.
The highly offensive term, sexual preference. Highly offensive, that is now.
I mean, you're
now, is that more highly offensive than if I called him, like, the F word that's highly offensive and you can't say?
That, okay, I get
but
that.
Those are both equally highly
exactly.
offensive?
Yeah.
No, I that doesn't make any sense.
You could say orientation, right?
But you can't
sexual,
say oriental.
Sexual orientation.
I think you can get away with that. I don't know.
How you orient yourself?
No. Anyway, Clinton Omaha says, Bill likes Florida players quite a bit, and Purify is still available. Would you like him as a slot corner slash punt returner?
Well, aren't there two of them available, or did Roberson go? No, I believe they're both available. Roberson was the far more highly thought of player. He was a 2-3, according to NFL Draft Scout. He has some knee and ankle issues, so he'd be perfect. Had a C6 vertebrae issue, so again, perfect. I didn't like him. I liked Purifoy better. He definitely has a special teams ability, and I think is a backup corner in the league, but I liked Purifoy better. He was a sixth-round projection.
Okay. Bobby and Squantum, do you think the selection of Jimmy G signals the potential shift in offensive scheme in the future? That offense he ran at EIU was the Eagles-esque up-tempo play-action quick passes behind the line of scrimmage type. He seems like he really works well in a system like that. Say what you want about him. His release is fast, and he can make those quick screen passes. I also love him in the red zone. He's got a great touch on his fades. Plus, he can use his feet a bit. The more I see, the more I like. Then again, I have a bright red Kool-Aid mustache.
I think everything you just said is true, except for I think that doesn't need a scheme change. That's the Patriots' offense.
Right.
Quick screens, get the ball out quick, timing. That's what Brady does.
Slants and in-cuts,
Paul. I think that's what they like about this guy is they think that he most closely replicates what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you that probably the best attribute that I saw is his quick release.
So the stark contrast between Ryan Mallett and Jimmy Garoppolo, is that a lesson learned, or is that an indication that they drafted Mallett to trade and Garoppolo to keep?
Thanks, Aaron. We're all on the radio.
And you're eating. Thank you. We appreciate it. Did you hear my question or no?
No. I got confused.
The stark contrast between Ryan Mallett's skill set and Jimmy Garoppolo's, is that a lesson learned or an indication that when they drafted Mallett, it was solely to develop and trade, and that Garoppolo is the kind of guy they want for long term?
It's interesting, and only they could answer that. But my guess would be that they drafted the two guys with different ideas in mind. I'm not sure they drafted Ryan Mallett with a thought that there was a realistic chance that he would be the heir apparent. Do you think?
I don't.
I agree with you, Paul.
I think they felt like they could develop something and get something for him. Now, listen. They've tried that many times. It hasn't worked once.
Right.
The only guy they got anything for was the only guy who played.
Right.
It's Castle.
Right.
He's the only guy that got a chance to play. All the other guys they quote-unquote developed, they didn't get anything for him. You know, Davey, they had a cut. O'Connell, they had a cut. Hoyer, they had a cut. You know, even if you want to get Matt Gutierrez, they never were able to get anything for any of these guys that spent some time on the roster.
I do think they, and maybe this is just me,
being negative.
No, being positive. I think maybe they might have had more hopes for O'Connell. And maybe that's just my still remembering how great his
well, I'm
his
sure they didn't
was,
I'm sure they didn't think they were going to cut him in year 2.
No, but I think they might have had higher hopes for him than just, a mallet type backup for all these years.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think they hoped to develop a quarterback and it didn't work. I mean, I don't think they realistically thought he was going to take over for Brady someday.
Interesting to
and I don't know why you would think
ponder.
I don't know why you would think they thought that with O'Connell but not with Mallett. Mallett was a much higher regarded player coming out of college than Kevin O'Connell was.
He was, but I never liked Mallett in college. I never thought he was that.
No, that
I always
that,
thought
that's
he was overrated.
Fine. That's fine too, but he was a better player than Kevin O'Connell was. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. John in Atlanta via York Harbor. Don't know exactly where that is, but he says with
Maine, maybe
York Harbor, Maine. Yeah, it's possible. With Belichick drafting for the future with Jimmy G, does this mean he's sticking around after Brady retires? That's kind of an interesting question.
Well, what was that? Sticking around with when Brady retires? Who?
Because he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. Does that mean,
Belichick
is he more likely to stick around now that or when Brady
it's
eventually
an interesting question to pose.
Yeah, I don't not necessarily sure it has
one has to do with the other.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you think if he were a lot of people think, "Oh, they're going to leave together. They're planning they're going to leave together." I do agree that if he thought that way, why are you worrying about your future quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't either.
And I haven't really felt like that he was going anywhere, but I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I guess the email is right. I mean, it probably does cement that feeling
that at least he'll stick around a little bit.
Andy just Pierre Desir.
Andy just put it perfectly.
He's a good person.
Yeah, I liked him.
But
Andy just put it perfectly. You know, why are you drafting a quarterback of the future if you're not planning being at least part of the future?
Right.
The Panthers. Good quote here from Bill Polian on Logan Thomas. Did you read that, Andy?
No.
There's nothing I could see on the tape that led me to believe that he could be a very good quarterback in this league.
Oh, I agree that.
Bill Polian on Logan Thomas.
I don't think he's going to be a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he can play quarterback.
The San Francisco 49ers are on the clock at pick 129. The Patriots will be right after them, or scheduled to be, pending any potential trades here. But we're one pick away. So we've addressed the need earlier in this round for interior offensive line. We're one pick away, guys. Safety or tight end? Which one's it going to be?
Dixon or Lynch? Dixon or Lynch? Dixon or Lynch? I got to go Lynch.
Who do you want?
I love Lynch.
Going with your Dartmouth guy?
You got to.
Paulie, you agree? Or would you go elsewhere? Fedorowicz?
Is gone.
Fedorowicz is
oh,
gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Would you go safety? Would you go Dixon?
I think Dixon's a pretty good player. Almost best available now for the need.
I like Dixon.
He likes Boyce. He likes Dixon.
I like Boyce and Dixon.
Okay.
I need a nap.
Hold on a second.
We're running out of gas.
Jeff in Melbourne, getting Australia. Now it's kind of late over there now.
Good day, mate.
Early in the morning. Gents, reflecting on the Garoppolo pick, the received wisdom in PFW world was that Bill would quit when Tom retired.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
Who said that?
That's not.
Who said that?
PFW world. Maybe he means listeners.
Oh.
And I'm not saying that has never been said, but I don't necessarily think that that's what we're, as Andy likes to say, the phrase that we're most commonly tied to.
Yeah.
You know, there may have been a time that we talked about that, and they'll probably go out together. But Bill shows no signs to me
of being ready to go. Yeah.
Of having had enough of any of this. I think he loves it all. I think it's the only thing he ever wants to do. Another interesting part for that. All of a sudden, his willingness to get involved with like competition committee, rules committee stuff.
True.
And proposals this past year. Stuff that
that's a good
he's
point.
So bristled at. I don't
that's
think he's
point.
Anywhere close to calling it a career. And maybe that might be a change in my mind. Maybe I have said in the past that I think they're going out together, but I haven't felt like that in a long time.
That's a good point. Looks like the Niners have made their pick.
Yes, the Patriots are on the clock.
Dante Johnson from NC State. Cornerback, another cornerback off the board. So now the Patriots are on the clock.
He's a big Johnson.
Less than 5 minutes here for them to make a pick. They're going to make a pick or they're going to trade?
They're going to make a pick.
I hope so.
The pick will be made and the pick will be made. Pick made.
Yes, because I don't want them to trade down.
No. No, no, no.
Any trades remaining now, I want to be up.
Yes, I totally agree,
Dante
Paul.
Johnson,
couldn't agree
NC
more.
State.
So we're looking for Arthur Lynch here or Dixon. That's what we're looking at. 3.5 minutes to go for the Patriots to make this pick. This is the spot when they have all of these picks in this round or like round three or round five. This is the spot where they take a guy that nobody's heard of. Am I right?
You couldn't be right.
Isn't this the time when they go completely off the board?
I got to be honest with you. There's at least a 50-50 shot that the guy they pick is going to be a guy
never heard of.
The last 10 picks, I'm probably half and half in terms
Dante
of
Johnson,
not familiar.
Number 9 on my free safety list.
Yeah, he'd be one that I had heard of. Pierre Desir, I had heard of. I'd never heard of Kiari Fort or Walt Akins.
He was on my list. They're both on my list.
I know Kevin Norwood and DeAnthony Thomas. Marqueston Huff, I don't know.
I didn't know.
I knew Carl Bradford. So, yeah, about half and half. We're at the stage where I'm running out of familiarity.
Come on, Artie. 130, come on.
You know what? I would love for Andy's guy to be the guy right here, Arthur Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little bit of an in for about, I don't know, 15, 20
sure.
seconds.
Well, that's fine. We'll take it. Plus a nice local connection.
Andy,
good story.
I could see him hanging up the phone with Belichick.
They've made a pick.
Immediately texting you and saying, thanks for all your help. I'm sorry I can't talk to you anymore.
The Patriots have made a pick.
The pick is in.
Is in.
The red light is on and the madam is in.
For it.
I'm going to say it's a defensive tackle, McCullers. Mountain of
a big defensive tackle to me makes sense.
It's James White,
running back from Wisconsin.
That does not make sense to me.
Fort Lauderdale,
Florida.
Right,
we said they were going to take a running back.
Yeah, but he's not the kind of running back I thought they would take. Small scat back kind of type. I didn't.
Are they
James White
Wisconsin?
By the way, I think he can play. He's a talented kid.
Well, then that begs the question now. Are they not completely happy with our buddy Shane Vereen?
Well, Shane Vereen will not be a Patriot after this year.
Well, he's more of a running back, like
a traditional
ball-carrying running back than Shane Vereen. I don't know if he has.
Ridley, then.
Ridley will
Yeah, they're planning for the eventuality of
Ridley. I think there's almost no chance that Ridley's part of the team next year.
That's what I meant. Did I just say
Vereen? You said Vereen.
I didn't mean that. I meant Ridley.
I think there's a chance Vereen resigns. I don't think there's much of a shot that Ridley does unless he takes absolutely nothing to come back.
Okay, James White.
James White's a productive guy, though.
3 years with 12 or more TDs, small, shifty, decent quickness, can do something. 220 carries for 1,400 yards last year. Now I'll have to... why don't you read an email or something, Eric, and I'll go to it.
Did we have interest in Moreno?
Now, which one was...
Doshon Moreno.
Jerry Thornton reported that he was coming here. It was a done deal when everybody said Jerry Thornton knew everything and should be on all these shows because he knows football.
Right,
but he's also a comedian who isn't funny.
Do we have, I didn't need the anger,
yeah.
But do we have a connection to Noshon Moreno other than that?
Other than Jerry Thornton.
Did he come in and visit us?
Not that I know
that we know
only Jerry Thornton.
Ian Rappaport says they had been doing their homework on running backs once they lost Blunt. Okay, I get it.
Yep.
MJD, okay, I get it. And Moreno. And I didn't know there was any connection with Moreno, other than the Jerry Thornton.
I hadn't heard anything.
And Jerry Thornton, by the way, evidently predicted Dominic Easley. I don't know if we talked about that as the first round guy. Our buddy from Barstool Sports and the different radio shows that he does and stuff.
Comedian who's not funny. Maybe he should become an analyst.
But whether you think he's funny or not, we should give him credit if he got
picked. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
giving
true.
Him any credit for
that. All right, let's go. Let's take. Go ahead.
I was just going to do a quick James White.
Yep.
Distant cousin of NFL players Santana and Sonoris Moss. I had a question. He had some kickoff returns, by the way. Is this the guy that they used to hold up the sheets of white paper, or is it the other one? Weren't there two whites on that team?
I don't have any.
You never watched the Wisconsin games where, like, the student section, they all just held up blank white sheets of paper? But there, I believe there were two running backs named White for
Okay, I didn't know that. Did not know that.
Okay.
Very small.
This is Nolan Naraki's scout.
Yes. Play strengths. Controlled mover with low center of gravity, good vision, balance, and short area burst. Shifty runner, like I said. Cuts efficiently and jukes tacklers. Shows competitive speed. Finishes runs. I thought people didn't say that if you knew what you were scouting about, Paul. Isn't that the criticism I took?
Yes.
Willing blocker and pass protection. Takes care of the football. Fumbled just twice in 754 career touches. Kickoff return experience. Tough and competitive. Good football aptitude. Highly respected by teammates and coaches. Weaknesses. Played in an offense that helped inflate his production. Undersized with exceptionally short arms and small hands. That's interesting that he's a good ball security guy with small hands. Run strength is just adequate. Limited power to move the pile or bust through tackles. Lacks bulk strength to stymie blitzers. Was never a feature back. Splitting carries with Broncos 2013 second rounder Monty Ball as a junior and Melvin Gordon as a senior. Future. White had a very productive career despite splitting carries for 4 years and offers a balanced enough skill set to factor as a recyclable complementary change of pace back in the pros, draft projection, priority free agent.
Okay.
So he's a bit of a reach.
Real quick.
We got about 10 more picks, by the way,
yep.
Before we're up again.
Real quick note, the Chicago Bears have taken Shane Vereen's brother, Brock Vereen.
Brock! Good for Brock. Bad for Shane.
Oh, was there a trade?
Yeah, a trade with
Bears
the Broncos.
Broncos.
Yeah,
okay.
There was a trade with the Broncos.
So we will not have the Vereen
Brothers
Variety Hour on Patriots.com.
No, but we will have the Vereen
I don't think
Brothers.
There's much of a chance of that anyway.
We will have the Vereen Brothers facing each other.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. This season, maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
Shane's probably going to be out
right
by that time. Love you, bud. Love you. Sorry, Shane.
Friend of the show.
I thought you were going to say, you know, if you know he's a fourth-round pick, so
right.
If Brock makes the team.
Yeah. Adam in Connecticut is on the...
I just want to read this one.
Okay, hang on a second, Adam.
Real quick, Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, now I lost it.
All right, go ahead,
Adam.
All
right, Adam, you're on deck now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just questioning, you know, since Bill Belichick said... that he's looking at the end of Brady's career, and so much research has gone on. What do you think about maybe in a later round that maybe they'll draft another quarterback, McCarron or Mettenberg, if it dropped that low?
I don't see it.
We were kind of joking about that earlier before we came on the air, but
I think it was just that. I think we were kind of just joking about it. I'd be really surprised if they went with another quarterback.
I've been thinking about it with McCarron, I got to be honest with you, but I think it would be a real surprise.
I mean, it seems like the value would be there if they keep on dropping, and you know, who knows if Garoppolo is going to pan out. So maybe some competition.
I'm going to be really surprised.
I don't really see that representing value. So you have a good, strong, healthy competition for your third quarterback. I don't think that's value. I understand the point about if you feel McCarron is good enough and now you're dropping further and further and you can't pass him up, but I'd rather get another player that might be able to help my team win, this year, next year, or whatever, rather than create competition for a backup spot on the roster. But I get the point. I just don't see it happening.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I hope you have a great day today.
All right. Well, before we let you go, what do you think overall? What do you think of this draft class thus far? You happy? You mixed results? You satisfied?
It's very much a Belichick that draft where you weren't sure what they were going to do, and even after the picks are made, it's like you scratch your head and wonder. So I guess we'll find out in 2 or 3 years.
Are they excited about any of these picks?
When they cut him.
I think that Garoppolo is going to be pretty good, it just seems like that first pick, with all those ACL injuries, I don't know if I would have went and picked him that high.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think we all had the same type of reaction. So, all right, Adam, thanks for the call.
Up and Adam.
The tweet I was going to read was sort of funny, I thought, from Field Yates, a buddy from ESPN Boston. Says, Belichick's top thing with running backs is ball security. He only fumbled twice in 700 plus. Coming off a guy who they just took in the third round 3 years ago in Stephen Ridley, who had all kinds of ball security issues in college. So,
lessons learned.
But again, I'll say, like, these people that they continue to try to pigeonhole Belichick, and he's a guy that's impossible to pigeonhole. He does not have things, quote-unquote, that he does and doesn't do.
What's up, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
You want to join us?
Jacqueline's coming in to join the show for a few minutes. It's nice.
We need a female perspective. Eric's going to go to the bathroom.
Oh, very funny.
I don't know if this is on. Here, put this on your head.
And then play with that little knob.
Play with this right here, this little knob. can you potter?
Yep,
potter
up, to potter up on the mixer there.
Give us a little mic check there, Jacqueline.
That's a little too much Andy in my ear. Thank you very much.
Well, you can spin the knob yourself.
Let me see this. Hold on. There we go.
You're working there. All right, so what do you think, cool. Jack? Brian Stork and now James White, running back. What do you think so far today?
I really like the Stork. I really like the Stork addition.
You do?
Yeah, I mean,
why?
I know that they've got their starting line all set and everything, but, I mean, this is one of the – he's college football's best lineman.
Remington Award winner.
There's going to be a lot of
– best center, by the way.
Yeah, best center, college football's best center. But, I mean, he's –
don't condescend to her. She knows her football.
He's not the best college football lineman. If so, he would have gone in the top five like the other good linemen.
The best center, but he, we talked to him on the phone. He's,
what did he say? Yeah, bring us up to
nothing.
Perfect.
I'm not even,
he's a patriot.
He literally had nothing to
say. That's why I don't even feel bad that I don't go to them anymore.
Yeah, he didn't have a whole lot to say, but, he said he's ready to compete. Not really.
Did he talk about his real skinny legs?
No one asked him about his real skinny legs.
Get it, Stork.
We
didn't get it the first time either.
We got
an emailer said it, and we didn't notice that he had skinny legs.
Someone caught us with that.
I didn't see that.
That's because we're a little sleep deprived.
Did y'all see Brock Vereen?
Yes. I just saw Shane, by the way, just tweeted out, I'm sorry, but let's go Chicago. I love this from my brother in all caps. Chicago just got a great player and better person. Couldn't be happier. That's from Shane Vereen to his brother.
Of course he's going to be happy for him.
And they're going to talk some friendly smack when they face each other this year.
Well, we saw Andy. Were you there when we saw him at the combine? We talked to Brock at the combine, and he was just talking about it. He's like, "Yeah, I would love the chance to, be able to go up against my brother."
They could have the chance. You never know.
At Gillette Stadium, October 26th.
You already know the date. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Writing your stand-up.
What's going on up here?
Well, we're
mixed
tired.
Results.
What about James White?
I'm not sure it's the White pick.
No.
See what you did there.
we thought they'd add a running back at some point,
right,
because of the fact that one or both could be gone a year from now. His ball security is obviously something that would appeal to Belichick, especially in the post-Stephen Ridley time. Been productive, been a committee guy at Wisconsin. So, you know, and some people look at that as a negative. He's never been the guy. Well, he's probably not going to be the guy here because they don't really have a guy here. He knows how to work within a committee. So that may actually be a bonus. He's used to that, splitting carries and being part of a group dynamic. So it's fine. I've yet to have the pick that I'm going to, like, jump up for and be excited.
That's you still. Well, they're about to.
Already the one-man party.
Yeah, 140, right?
Hopefully.
Coming up here pretty soon.
Hopefully.
I'm still whole. I am really bummed there hasn't been a tight end yet.
This could be the one.
It surprises me.
Arthur Lynch
surprises
could be the one
me
here.
Too, because, you know, they can be very confident that Gronk is going to be back. Maybe they are. Maybe they think Gronk is going to be ready to go September. You know the schedule. When's the first game?
September something.
Okay. 7th.
September 7th.
9th.
Okay. No one knows the schedule, but early in September, they can believe Gronk's going
to
be ready.
I'm a little upset at Eric, to be honest.
I don't really know.
He's the vice president
that's
in charge of schedules.
I think they need
out,
a tight end.
I just don't, you know.
And, you know, I just don't, you know, the further you get, how far we're at, 140 coming up for their pick.
I mean, Gronk has become the Rob Gronkowski when healthy. That is what he's become.
Right.
It's not Gronk, it's Gronk when healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's two different things. There's Rob Gronkowski,
and
then there's
Gronk.
Gronk is the beast who dominates.
Right.
Rob Gronkowski is just the man.
The guy.
Okay.
A mere mortal.
I really thought that was a thing of the past, but I guess I was wrong.
Where's the TV? Oh, there we go.
Okay. Right up above. Yeah,
TV's
we're getting close.
Us.
I think Arthur Lynch is going to be the...
There's a lot of bugs in here.
I've got my red and black on for
your Georgia colors.
Yeah, it's somewhat embarrassing.
I'm a little disappointed that hasn't been a Georgia player selected yet.
Well, Hillel from Sydney, Australia is up and listening live.
What the Hillel going on?
3:30 in the morning. I'm up listening to you guys for insights and humor. Keep up the good work.
Go to sleep then.
Hope we draft Arthur Lynch and Pierre Desir. What do you guys
Desir
think?
Desir is gone just a few picks ago.
Yeah. Desir went
but Seattle.
Arthur Lynch is still out there.
Oh, that makes sense. A big corner goes to Seattle. Interesting. Oh, no,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah? He went about 8
No, he didn't go to Seattle.
He went
I was looking
eight
at
picks
Pierre.
Ago.
Sorry.
He went to Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Cornerback. Who just went? Brent Urban. You know what their preseason cover will be? Urban Development.
Oh, defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Brett in Orlando says, I'm at home reading an engineering textbook and apparently the only American with no life. Most people almost never.
No, Eric doesn't have a life either.
Like O-line
He'll
picks.
Be in bed by 9:30 tonight.
Hey, let's face it.
Hey,
we're here.
Don't
we're
hate.
Here. We don't have a life.
You don't have a life either. That's true.
Hey, I have a wonderful life.
Jackie is an attractive
I've
young woman
life.
About to celebrate a very special birthday. Is that today?
No.
Soon.
I don't know.
Creep
Soon.
Knows already.
I think a lot of people know.
Yeah, when you're friends with somebody, you tend to know things about them. You wouldn't know because you have no friends, you fat-headed moron. Let me continue with Brett's email.
Tom Savage goes to Houston, so the Texans get a
get
quarterback.
Get their quarterback. Now, I like how you said that. You said they get a quarterback. I said they get their quarterback. You could look at him as a developmental guy. He's certainly not game-ready, playing one of the last 3 years, essentially, but... You could look at him as a developmental guy. I said to you when I found out the whole story of going from Rutgers to Arizona to Pitt and missing 2 years there, I think kind of getting screwed by the system. But you could look at him as a developmental prospect. And it is very interesting that they liked Garoppolo, the Patriots liked Garoppolo. There were reports the Patriots like Savage, Houston takes Savage. Because people in Houston believed that they were going to take Garoppolo at the top of the third round.
Yep.
Okay, continuing with Brett's email. Most people almost never like O-line picks because it's the least sexy position on the field and usually thought of more as a unit rather than individual players.
A unit.
But I like investing in the O-line because I think controlling the line of scrimmage is generally more important than people think to winning games. Hate the QB pick for every possible reason because it still leaves them without an offensive weapon. I also agree with Paul that they still haven't done anything to improve the team this year. It seems like they're picking for 2 to 3 years from now.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Like I said when I made that comment, it doesn't make it a bad draft. I just think that they've taken some developmental guys. I think some of them are important, and Andy and I have been hammering home all of this pre-draft process about the importance of looking down the road as well as now. And they have some holes to fill immediately with guys like Brandon Spikes and Dane Fletcher in terms of depth at linebacker, Gronkowski's health in terms of tight end, but also looking ahead. That's where I think Brian Stork comes in. because you have a chance with Wendell. Only signed a two-year deal, low money. I think you can upgrade there. Dan Conley and Logan Mankin's getting up there in age and salary. Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly, both entering their mid-30s, coming off serious injuries. This is probably, I would say this is definitely Kelly's last year in New England, and there's a chance that this is the last you see of Vince. So those are some areas you need to look ahead and sort of project as well. And I think the Patriots have done a good job of looking at some of those kinds of guys.
Jets are, I'm sorry, Jackie.
I was just saying, I don't know if I hate the quarterback pick. I mean, I don't know if I agree with going in the second round, but I don't hate the pick.
Well, it went in the second round. That's part of the pick.
You got to analyze it.
It's not that I dislike him, though, as a quarterback.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but you took him in the second round. That's part of the pick.
You dislike the fact that it wasn't Aaron Murray.
No, I'm not saying that.
In your red and black.
The Jets, AFC East is on the clock. Jets have less than 2.5 minutes to make their selection. Then it's Ravens, Jackie's Falcons, and then the Patriots.
They're not my Falcons.
They should be.
I don't get it.
Are you from Georgia? Atlanta?
Well, right.
They're your Falcons.
Yeah, and you're wearing their colors today.
No, I'm wearing Georgia's colors. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs, if anybody goes from the Dogs at any point ever.
Matt
from Austin, is Dree Archer still on the board? If so,
no.
Would this be a good round to draft
him? Pittsburgh, right? I believe.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Anyone?
I don't recall.
He was the first compensatory pick, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought so.
Let's see.
Ew, what was that?
Sorry.
Gross, stop doing that.
That's Eric.
Oh.
What?
That
was not me.
Was that you, Andy?
Andy.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Usually you're the one chewing gum,
I just assumed
it was you.
No, I was just sucking saliva.
Oh, for God's sakes.
This is Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
Hey, guys, I have to say I'm torn
at how bad
draft
this show
so
is.
Far. On the one hand, I have some contentment knowing that we're planning for the future. On the other, I'm disappointed for the same reason Andy and Paul were talking about last night. I really wanted to see the Pats get some pieces that would help us get that elusive fourth ring for Brady and Belichick. From the sounds of it, this Easley kid has freakish talent and desire, but haven't the Pats had enough collateral ligament injuries to deal with already? Also,
did he really write collateral ligament injuries?
That's what he wrote, yes.
That's nice.
Also, I hate trading our third for Jacksonville's fourth and sixth. The hell's that all about? I'd be cool with it if Bill hadn't already picked up Garoppolo. He could have used that sixth to get the next Brady. Also, F the Jets for taking Amaro. Anyway, despite the picks, I have to say I was thoroughly entertained by the shows the last two nights, and I'm sad today is the last draft show of the year, though...
I'm sad it's not entertaining.
I'm sure at this point you're not. Keep up the good work. Let's go, Pats.
I apologize for this show. It's not up to our high standards.
It never is.
And that's why we brought Jackie in. We thought we would inject some youth and energy and female perspective, and she's not doing anything.
And I don't even have to wear makeup in here. It's awesome.
Yeah, but you probably should put some on before you get on camera.
Yeah, I'm
going to
work on it. Do we have a pick yet for the Jets?
Yes, Dozier. Dakota Dozier.
Oh, yeah, Dozier.
Ravens are on the clock.
Out of Furman. Mark Furman.
Oh. Gary in Ireland is next up.
Top of the morning to you.
Just listening to Bill's press conference.
It's actually afternoon, evening. Sorry.
Yeah, it's early evening over there. Just listening to Bill's press conference, I noticed he referred to players in the late round as productive players.
Yes.
I'm wondering why he wants productive players and not difference makers on this team. Last year, for example,
well,
Kenbrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson were productive players at 30 receptions, 4 TDs each, and around 500 receiving yards. Julian Edelman was a difference maker over 100 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 TDs. Bill seems to love filling his team with a lot of productive players. I'm saying that way because it's in quotes. And not gamble on a talented player in the draft, then eventually moves back to get value picks, which have a less chance of turning into a difference maker. In my opinion, the best players are available early, and the Patriots should not be trading back to gain more picks, although I thought they were in a perfect position to trade back with teams looking to move up and get Garoppolo. But I guess I'm not the only one who misjudged that situation. I also think we're in trouble with the tight end spot. Who's going to be the starter this year? Gronk's going to be out for a few weeks. I mean, people are saying that like it's fact, and we don't know that that's fact.
We do not know that. That is accurate.
What is fact?
Gronk's
going to
be out for a few weeks. We don't know that. Ignoring off his off-field issues.
Well, actually, you know what? We do know that Gronk is going to be out for a few weeks.
Maybe.
Oh,
I
am guaranteeing that Gronk
maybe.
You know will what miss some time.
You know what I want to call
Gronkowski
for?
Gronkowski
I want to call
there.
For a return of marathon talk.
Really?
No.
In place of the Gronk as opposed to Gronkowski.
I do
talk.
Have my very nice
what?
2014
the,
Boston Marathon sweatshirt on. Paul is very mean and you know, what I thought was a great accomplishment in my life and a very emotional day with my family and my friends.
I was there.
You know, raising money for charity. On so many levels, it was fulfilling.
It's a wonderful
thing. Paul just poo-poos it, and you're not allowed to talk about it.
It's amazing how he can take a wonderful thing and beat it into the ground to the point where you can't stand hearing
about it. Let me continue Gary from Ireland's email, because Jackie will like what he has to say in a minute. Ignoring his off-the-field issues, I love Colt Loyola, but I don't think the Patriots will pick him. I could see the Patriots picking a guy today with their first or fourth-round pick on someone they've never heard of, probably out of Rutgers. I like Aaron Murray.
There we go.
And I hope he's drafted with a chance to compete for a starting job elsewhere. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, he's not coming here.
No.
No.
But in Paul's scenario,
he stinks.
Paul's scenario, later on, getting another quarterback.
That's not my scenario.
Well, you talked about it earlier.
That was an emailer.
You said you thought about it with McCarron.
About it. I said I thought about McCarron, but I don't think there's any chance they'll do it.
So why'd you think about it?
Because McCarron was a guy that had been so tied to the Patriots.
Has he, though? Like, other than him and fans, like, has he technically been tied to the Patriots?
Like, on a visit or anything like that?
They want him. They visited. They worked him out. They love his skills. Or is it just him saying, yeah, I'm like Tom Brady. He's pretty cool. Alabama's like the Patriots.
Well, but, I mean, come on.
My girlfriend's hot. His wife is hot.
It's not ridiculous think, though. I mean,
I think it's ridiculous to think that
Brady's
they're going to draft another quarterback.
Well, at this point, But before they drafted Garoppolo, it wasn't outlandish to think that they would after an Alabama guy and a quarterback.
Yeah, but he has said that since then. He thinks he has considered it.
No.
I think bringing in another quarterback.
I think you need to push that closer.
I apologize for
can you put
addressing
that
an emailer that asked if we would see the value in a guy like A.J. McCarron. I apologize.
What?
Put it closer to your mouth.
Oh.
No, your microphone, I mean.
Shut up.
That's
no, really. You do.
That was really.
That's really uncalled.
That was really
bend
poor
it.
Of me. Oh, God.
No, don't bend it. Ow.
Falcons are on the clock.
No, but I'm being serious.
At 1:39, there's 2.5 minutes left.
Can you bend it a little?
I don't know.
Patriots will be next up with their pick.
Yeah, please don't break it.
Four rounds.
Oh, thank the Lord. Yeah, the Patriots
have. Oh, you want me to do it?
Patriots have the last. Andy, please. Good Lord.
You can just bend it. It won't break.
Patriots have the last pick in the fourth round, and then as of now, they have no picks in the fifth round. So
Lorenzo Taliaferro. I don't know who that is.
Is that the
Coastal
Falcons
Carolina.
Pick?
No, that's Baltimore's pick.
Oh, the Patriots supposedly were interested in him. Supposedly they made a late trip down
there.
Why?
How were they tied to him? What were they tied to him? Who tied them to them?
Supposedly.
Who tied it?
I said supposedly.
Who tied them to them?
I said supposedly.
That's not a word.
Supposedly.
I know, but neither is asininically.
That's true, too.
You use that all the time.
The Falcons have made their pick, which means New England is now on the clock, folks. Don't know yet what the Falcons' pick is, but they have made it, so the Patriots are now...
If the Falcons took a tight end, because remember, they could use a tight end, and Georgia right there, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He'd probably like it, though.
What do you mean, Arthur Lynch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what, being in Georgia?
Yeah.
He probably would, but he's a huge, I mean, from what I see on, like, Instagram and Facebook and stuff, he's a huge, I mean, I think there's nothing he would want more than
to come
be
home
here and to play for this team.
Yeah. Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
But he also, I liked very cockily, said if the Jets take me, then I'll just have to beat the Patriots twice a year. I liked that.
Oh, he did say that?
Combine, yeah.
Who said that?
Arthur Lynch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he's a big Patriots fan. He would love to play here. He played here, obviously, in the high school Super Bowl. And Shembo Prince or Prince Shembo, I like him. That's a good pick for
Prince
the Falcons.
Shembo.
He's a good player. He's one of my best available at this point.
Ow, this is hurting my earring.
What?
Dave in England writes in. We'll try to get a quick
Patriots
email
are on the clock.
While the Patriots are on
pick
the clock.
Pick is in!
Oh, never mind.
Pick
Dave,
is in!
Hold that
pick
thought,
is
Dave.
In!
Hold your email thought
why
there, Dave. Because
the pick
go.
Is in! They were ready. They wanted
they
somebody.
They did.
Artie.
Cam Fleming.
What?
That's not Arthur Lynch.
I don't even know who Cam Fleming is.
Cam.
What is he?
A tackle?
That's not Arthur Lynch.
Oh, I knew they would take an offensive lineman out of Stanford.
Stanford offensive tackle.
I knew it.
Yep, Andy.
I knew it. Where's my Cameron Fleming? Fourth round guy, 3-year right tackle, thicker right tackle type, decent mirror and hands, not quick, ran a 5.28, 6.5, 323 pounds. He's a little different than what we have as our lean, mean, fighting machine tackles, which is interesting to me.
He was a right tackle, as Andy said. Mm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Slow, good hands. Okay.
Okay, I'm pulling up his...
Oh, boy.
I'm not happy. This is
you're never happy.
I was happy with the Garoppolo pick. I was happy with
the
Stork
pick. Which makes no sense.
Let's see. Yeah, Stork is
Cameron Fleming. He's a projected fourth or fifth round pick, so he's right in there. His future, big, thickly built, experienced right tackle who graduated with a degree in aeronautics and astronautics. Mm. So he and Matt Patricia will have some fascinating conversations together.
Yep.
And entered the draft early despite standing to benefit from another year of seasoning on the farm. I didn't know Stanford was known as the farm. It's in capital letters, capital T, capital F. Paul, did you know that? The farm?
The farm.
That's no. Stanford?
Did not know that.
Has size and smarts to stick in a power slide protection scheme, but needs to make strides with his functional strength, technique, and aggressiveness. Could be tried inside. That's interesting. That's an interesting note. Could be tried inside. Was a high school basketball player. Big body, strong hands, can down block and generate movement in the run game. Agile enough to kick out of his... to run out of his kick slide and push rushers wide, shows alertness and reactions to combo block and pass off stunts. 3-year starter in a pro-style offense, very intelligent. His weaknesses...
Yeah, it seems like they've gone after a lot of really smart guys.
Well, you know, you got to be smart.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's like been like the common theme.
They liked him. They like him smart. Thick, tight hips.
Tom Curran. Huge brain on Cam. Degree in aeronautics and astronomics from Stanford. In parentheses, he writes, I minored in each as well.
Average sustain, could be stressed by quicker rushers, does not generate power through his core, and lack of explosion confirmed in a 23.5-inch vertical jump. Balance and coordination wanes on the second level, struggles connecting with moving targets, does not consistently block through the whistle, and could become a better, nastier finisher.
He was also, Field Yates just tweeted, he was featured in College Game Day piece, Revenge of the Nerds.
I remember that piece.
He's actually a smart fella. He's a smart one.
David, but is this a need pick?
Oh, no.
Why then?
I got to think they think the best available as an underclassman who it says, you know, would have been better. Maybe this is another one of those where, oh, we can get this tackle in the fourth. If he had gone back, he would have been a second round pick.
But it's also a continuation of what we're talking about with the potential for guys to be gone next year. And they're stockpiling some guys
who
and looking for some
tackle.
If
he bumps inside the guard,
some of the interior guys.
You know, and they're not worried about Vollmer. He broke his leg, right? I mean, that's not really an issue.
David Shaw, his coach, by the way. First thing you see is his size. He's quick, explosive, and athletic.
Speaking of
smart
fellas. What's up, guys?
Matt Chatham.
Chatham. Self-important.
To Chatham up.
Self-important smart fellas. Oh.
What were you saying, Paul?
I don't know. David Shaw says first thing, because he's on NFL Network, I guess.
Oh, he is? There he is.
And he says...
Shaw enough.
One of the first things you see is his size, explosive and athletic, he called him.
So you're thinking they're looking at the tackle...
I didn't think he was overly athletic.
He might be a guard.
Personally.
Or a guard. And
no, I know.
Looking ahead to next year, but...
Have we run... Who are we running out of town now? Mankins? Yeah. You know, we all know our situation at left guard. We all know the agent contract with Logan Mankins.
Yeah,
Phil's going to regret calling that a situation.
That's why he doesn't say anything, because when he does say a word, everybody
like
pounds the word.
I'm sure Belichick isn't all that worried about what you're thinking. Calling it a situation. I don't think he really
He cares. Called it a situation.
Yeah, but it's not.
I just don't know why you think that's such a situation.
I mean, it's interesting.
The situation room.
Right, it's interesting.
Feels like
it's like
there's an issue we got to work with here.
Well, of course there is. I don't think.
No one's ever said there was an issue before. Tom Brady's my quarterback.
I was trying to tell him earlier. Just because you use the word situation doesn't necessarily imply that there's something bad going on.
He didn't say Tom Brady is my quarterback. There's no other quarterback I'd rather have. He said we have a situation at quarterback, and that's why we drafted Jimmy.
You have a situation at every position.
I don't. There's no situation at left tackle.
No, yeah, but there's.
You just said there's a situation at every position.
There is a situation.
There is no situation at right defensive end. There is no situation at left cornerback.
The situation at right defensive end is that the right defensive end sometimes slips in and plays tackle.
Or he plays too many snaps. That's the situation.
Yeah, that's the situation.
The situation at left cornerback
is... They don't have enough people at right.
They need to make
sure
that he is as good as they hope he is. And that he holds up and gets back to his form.
Situation.
Ew,
that's the situation there.
Are there bugs flying around?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because it's hot. And
hey, nice! Taylor Hart to the Aw.
I know. I think
Chip
I
Kelly
lost
just
my
goes
hearing.
Like, oh, I coach him at Oregon, so I'll take him.
Dante from Orlando is not happy with this draft. His subject line says this draft sucks.
Show.
5 exclamation points. To start, I love the show.
Oh.
But I love Jackie more.
Oh.
Second, I'm hating the draft
right now.
Have
you noticed the numbers, by the way? A lot of people creeping it up.
What do you mean?
The search items on Patriots.com. A lot of Jackie Britton searches.
That's probably just my grandma trying to find the videos.
Should I not, should I not be doing that?
No, you shouldn't.
No.
And you should cover your webcam when you're doing that.
Dante says...
I go like this when I search for Jackie Britton.
Dante is hating the draft right now.
It's two hands.
I feel that we need a tight end and safety, but we haven't made any picks to fill that void. Also, the Jets picks are 10 times better than ours.
But, like, you need to see these guys play.
Exactly.
Like, reserve judgment until, like, they're out there at training camp or
right,
whatever,
at least see them in a uniform with pads on.
Yeah, they're not the big names right now, but I mean,
right.
No one's going to be hating anything when you have the Kimbrel Tompkins of the world coming in and scoring a last-minute touchdown.
How many people were thrilled with the Julian Edelman pick? Late round, guy didn't have a position.
How many people still aren't thrilled with it?
No, but I mean...
Just Paul.
You know, but things like
I mean,
sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, right.
But Tavon Wilson being
an people
example.
That jump on these picks
Eric.
In the fourth round, not Eric.
Eric jumps on picks all the time.
But you're not feeling,
you don't?
You're not,
no.
feeling, you're not filling needs now. You don't fill needs in day three.
Unfortunately, we didn't fill needs in day one, too.
No, I know. Well, that's what makes this draft a little bit different. It's a total developmental draft. They're obviously looking ahead with this draft, but that's fine.
Ooh, and Ryan Grant went.
I'll be patient enough to let it unfold to see if they pick the right guys.
When did you become the voice of reason?
I'm by far not the voice of reason.
Because
I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, he is. He's not himself.
I'm a little nervous.
We apologize in advance for Paul's comments. He's not thinking straight.
What time are you leaving?
4.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, barely still here. For
all right, webradio@patriots.com is our email address,
508-298-0398.
How many? Let's see, they've got
the
four
ace ticket
picks
hotline.
Left.
What's the next pick for the Patriots, Jackie?
179.
And that's in the sixth
we have
round.
30. We may not get there.
Well, we're not going to get there because they have the we have the whole fifth round.
Oh, yeah.
And we're only on the air
until
3
fast
o'clock.
They go.
We're only on the air for the next 50 minutes.
Well, you know, they might go faster. You never know. They
855 Pats 500. Zach, let's get a quick break in here.
Please.
Let people digest the last three Patriots picks, Stork, White, and now what was the Stanford guy's name?
Fleming.
He's a steakhouse.
Two offensive linemen and a running back. Give us your thoughts. Webradio@patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, 508-298-0398. We'll see you in a few minutes.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Your Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, and Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games. Be there at Boston Garden for all the playoff action. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you will always get the best seats at the lowest prices. Ace has your tickets to all of this summer's biggest concerts. Luke Bryan, Billy Joel, Zac Brown, One Direction, and Katy Perry. Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Think you know who the Patriots will pick in round one? Nobody. Now, back to Fred and the Boys live at Gillette Stadium and round one of the 2014 NFL Draft.
45 more minutes left in our draft show extravaganza, but a lot more time for the Patriots. To draft players. They have three sixth-round picks and a seventh-round pick. They have four more to go on the day. We probably won't be on the air for any of the remaining picks unless, Paul, maybe they collect some of those sixth- and seventh-round draft picks and
burp
trade up into the fifth round. That would be nice from a work perspective for us because that means fewer players.
It's not all about you, Eric. Not all about you.
I said us, Andy. I said us. I was collectively.
Well, I'm getting screwed no matter what. I'm writing the whole issue.
What are you talking about?
I don't really understand that.
I think Telvin Smith just got drafted for the second time.
No, Christian Jones got drafted before.
A different FS player. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm pumping these Pepsis through me, and I'm not getting anything out of them, Paul.
What do you mean? What are you looking at?
Because there's a lot of sugar in there.
You're trying to get like a five-hour energy type thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a boost, and I'm just getting the urge to pee.
Well, then you shouldn't drink something with like 35 grams of sugar in it.
Diet Pepsi?
It's got caffeine, numbnut.
Oh, that's diet?
Yeah.
Oh, don't call me a numbnut.
Well, you no.
You did say something dumb.
I didn't know his diet.
Blondie.
I didn't think you rolled that way. Diet Pepsi.
All I drink is diet. I've never had a regular soda in my life.
Really?
What?
That's weird.
You've never had any regular soda.
I grew up in a diet household.
How is that possible?
Because I grew up in a diet household.
Yeah. Well, but you went to school. You out sometimes.
I've like barely tasted it, and it's like pure syrupy. Like I hate it.
Hmm. Wow. Giardi tweeted that he has nothing bad to say about the Patriots draft.
Proving it's a bad draft. The man doesn't know whether it's puffed or stuffed. Tell him.
No.
Dan from Hamburg, Germany, again with the European emails.
Hamburg!
I was expecting that we'd go for a tight end, safety, or wide receiver. I can live with the QB, even if I don't see the necessity. I would have addressed the D tackle in the fourth to sixth round and definitely would have picked up a center. You guys keep wondering why so many fans from Europe are participating in the show.
Simple I do.
Is that right now it's 7:30 p.m. in Central Europe. As the Patriots made
their
first
round pick. Yeah, it's 7:30 Saturday night. What are you all, a bunch of Erics?
As the Patriots made their first round pick, it was about 4 in the morning on Friday. Like many fans, I stay up that long to watch a game and risk a bad day at work for a game, but not for a draft pick, or worse, for seeing Bill trade away the pick. So, now that he's on the weekend, I guess.
But it's also daytime here.
Yeah.
Like, they could be contributing.
Do you just think people shouldn't watch the draft?
I think it's funny that
I wouldn't be watching the draft.
Yeah, the short answer to that question
like the draft,
is
there
yes.
is an abundance, though, of our calls coming from your... Oh, David Yankee went. Oh, we love Yankee? We got Fleming instead of Yankee?
Yes.
I like Yankee better.
Where is that?
We are at, let's see, what pick are we on? We're at 146.
Hi, Michael.
This is behind.
What do you got?
Yeah, they are
James
behind.
White.
Did I get anything?
Stork.
Cowboys are on the clock.
Thank you.
At the combine, you had some shoulder issues and a knee issue. Thanks, is it all good now? Yeah, I'm fine. It's not a big deal. I'm a ball player.
Oh, yeah,
we got a center who's calling himself a ball player.
That's usually what like a baseball
player
says.
Yeah. And he's a center. Like, what? You're right. I see, two answers that made it to a second line?
Yeah.
On the transcript.
He didn't really say anything.
Do you still have the beard? Yeah, I do.
Are you familiar with Logan Mankins or any other guys in the offensive line? Yes, I've heard of them.
Bill loves this guy.
I'll probably trim
just,
it.
Maybe he's just quiet.
He's just shy.
Yeah. Do you still have the beard? Yeah, I do. Midseason form, preseason form. It's just growing. I'll probably trim it up.
Yeah, what? I mean, really?
So, yeah, we got a lot here.
Who's doing Stork?
Jackie, you were up there.
Is it me?
Jackie, were you up there for...
Stork.
Was it this guy or the other one you were up there for?
It was Stork.
It was Stork?
Yeah.
Okay. What were your impressions of him?
Was the tone of it?
I mean, he seems like a humble guy who just wants to work hard. I mean, he honestly seems like he fits the mold personality-wise here. He just seems like he kind of keeps his, you know, head down, nose clean, does what he's got to do, wants to come compete even though the starting line is intact.
He's just a ball player.
Yeah, he's just a ball player. He's tough.
Didn't seem like he was scared.
No.
You know, like a lot of those players get on there and they're just almost...
Yeah, like nervous.
They're nervous, so they keep their answers short.
Well, you think of him. Nope. From Stanford, that's a big-time football program, been in a lot of big games and bowl games recently. Plus, he's a smart guy. I mean, I think some of the guys
Stork.
That get scared are because they're like, oh my God, I can't say
no, we're talking about
Stork. Oh.
FSU guy. Who's still...
Cricket from the record.
Yep.
Who's still, I mean, you know.
He's been in some big games, though.
He's not immune to publicity, I guess.
Ryan in Sweden.
Sven from Sweden.
Hi, gents. I'm an American student working on a farm out in southern Sweden.
That's so cool.
I just got in from feeding the chickens, the goats, and need a quick update. I saw we picked Easley, Garoppolo, and Stork. What are your first gut impressions on those three players?
My gut impression is how does a college student from America end up on a farm? Reminds me of when Bart Simpson did an exchange thing.
I think that's so cool. I want to do that. I want to have like my own farm one day.
You know, you missed that opportunity. You're now a career woman.
I know.
You don't have time to go work on the
farm.
Maybe
one day.
Well, you can get the farm and have the exchange students come over.
I can just have the... I want to have like a farm where I can grow my own, you know, stuff. And anyway,
organic.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
What was his question?
He wants to know what we think of the picks so far. and to get him caught up to date, he only saw those first three picks.
Get him up to date, Jackie.
Okay, the D-tackle, the quarterback, and then the...
And then Ryan Stork.
Yeah,
he saw those three guys. Then they picked James White, running back, Wisconsin.
He's got the white stuff.
And the Fleming character from Stanford.
Tackle, maybe guard. He's astronautic, aeronautic.
I did not think that the offensive line was in that much of a need to help out early in the draft.
Well, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think they're looking ahead a little
surprised,
bit.
I'm surprised, which I guess is good, but I didn't expect them to do that so early.
Conley and Wendell could be gone as soon as this year or next year.
I think it would have made more sense if they did that later in the draft.
I don't think fourth round is early. That's all.
Well,
I mean, I think this is when you're looking for guys that can fill
but
in.
But when you've got like tight ends who are going to pretty much be gone,
but
at
they're
going
to they're not going to be able to play. The guys that you take now aren't going to sit in.
So we're not going to have a tight end. That's what you're telling me. Is Brandon
Gronkowski is going to be the starting tight end?
What if he can't be?
On opening day, he might not be, but for the bulk of your season, he will be.
So we're just not going to have a tight end.
This is back to our argument for 2 months ago.
We're not going to have a tight end. We're just not going to have a tight end. We're not going to play with one. No tight end.
That won't be the
offense will be irrelevant, and we'll go 1 of 12 on third down again.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you 3 months ago. How many games do you think Rob Gronkowski will play?
I have no idea.
But I'm asking you to give me a guess. No one's going to hold you to it.
13.
Okay, so you can't live for three games with who, man?
I don't know.
No, you have to have somebody.
He's gonna play that
you
many?
Have to draft someone to come in and play.
I'd like him to play that many too.
And I'd also
like
him to be able to not have to play all the time.
Yeah,
you know, have a rotation.
Like
you know, have a guy who can contribute.
But they're going to have guys. Do you have to draft a guy in the first four rounds? That's
going to
do that?
Right. We're going to sign Dustin Keller to bring his ACL, so he'll add to our sum total of 50 ACLs for 55 players.
Andy, you're being very argumentative.
I know.
And you're being very, very condescending, and I don't like.
No, I'm not. I'm never condescending.
This is why you and I are going to have to readdress our Thursday night fight that we never had.
Are we going to have to put Andy in timeout?
out.
Well, I am getting warm. You think it's getting hot?
Well, that's because you're getting
70 degrees
mad.
Out here today.
I feel great right now.
Well, Mike in Rhode Island is not feeling
it's
great, though. Mike in Rhode Island is not feeling great. He says, I think I know why the Pats are drafting all of these cripples and bench warmers. Since they win so much in the regular season.
I'm pretty sure that's not okay.
Goodell
say.
Doesn't think that's what he wrote.
I know, but I'm
Goodell
sure
doesn't
that's not
think
okay
it's fair for the rest of the league, so Roger gives Bill a call and says, hey, Bill, would you mind blowing these first couple picks?
I don't think Roger and Bill talk all that much. That's just the vibe I get.
Yeah,
you know, see, they're not really on the same page.
I don't think they're like phone buddies. Yo, Raj, what's happening? You really killed it last night at the draft. Yeah, you too with that presser.
I mean, I think it's a little far-fetched.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
You too with that presser. Idiot.
Yes?
See. No, I'm thinking.
This is radio. You don't make noises while you think. People assume
sorry.
When you make a
I
noise,
talk to myself a lot
you want to contribute
so.
To the show.
And
just so you know, you have a very low bar. You're just expected to contribute as much as Fred does, and that's minimal. That's all
see,
you
that's,
have to do.
See, that's condescending right there.
What, to me?
To both people.
Yeah.
It was a sprinkler offense type Andy Hart
mm-hmm.
shot.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's a little hard to talk when Andy won't be quiet.
That's true. That's a problem we all have on this show. It really is. Vatsal?
Where's he from?
Doesn't say where.
Is it it or a who?
Doesn't say who or where.
You think that's a girl or a boy?
Probably a guy, I'm going to say.
You weren't sure. You decided after the G came out of your mouth whether you were going to say guy or girl.
Right.
It's probably a guy.
Ain't nothing but a G thing.
Buffalo's up.
Got to get the old Croc Dundee taste.
Why Jimmy? This is all caps. Question marks and exclamation points. Why Jimmy? A.J. McCarron still on the board. Jimmy?
No. So
A.J. McCarron, they may think, is not that good.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that fans want to tie him together and McCarron wanted to tie him together, maybe they don't think he's very good.
Yeah,
I have been critical of Garoppolo. He's better than A.J. McCarron.
Of course he is. You're better
opinion.
Than A.J. McCarron.
And he continues.
You need to stop burping into the mic.
Ew,
yeah,
and then
really.
Cough in my face. Gross.
Oh, that must have been one of those smelly burps, too.
No, I had a little buffalo.
Vatsal is also not happy that we still don't have a tight end or a safety.
Join the frickin' club.
Yeah.
But Ahmad Dixon is still available.
That's good.
The safety thing is a little bit more of an issue because I'm not sure you have a guy that you feel comfortable
with. Daron Harmon, how many games are you going to play next year?
Yeah, I think you could get a guy that might be better than him.
Right, and I think
can't
you can get a guy
better
than Michael Uh-oh-Manawanui.
No, you can't. Not in the fifth
huh?
round. You're not
going to
get a guy in the
Michael
fifth,
Uh-oh-Manawanui
fourth, fifth
round. Michael Uh-oh-Manawanui
stinks. If you drafted Austin Seferian Jenkins or C.J. Fedorowicz.
Arthur Lynch.
Or Troy.
All SEC.
Yeah.
All everybody tells me is the SEC is a half a step down from the NFL. Now the all SEC tight end by the media and the coaches is not an upgrade over Michael Uh-oh-Manawanui.
Okay, so should we draft Michael Sam too? You don't think he can play?
I didn't say that. Oh, that was good by him. That was well done.
He
played that one like a veteran.
Not my first rodeo.
Well played, Grandpa. Well played.
The Bills were on the clock. They traded with Tampa Bay. The Bucks are now on the clock at pick number 149.
What do I like about Bean Wierke? Bean-Wierke.
I'm going to add him to the list of guys that drafted in the last half hour that I've never heard
I'm not
of.
Sure he was on the big board, Paul. I'm going to check it out. Ready to go?
Matt, that's a guy for you, San Jose State.
Oh, I got him. Can he jump out of a pool?
Good hoodie you got from there from a few years ago.
Matthew, would you like to join the show?
He's shaking his head no.
Okay.
Robin in Alaska, at least one listener in the U.S. cares. Not sure if this means I should have better things to do.
You should.
Damn.
And at least one participant
now
on the show
Now I have
show
to reevaluate
cares.
My life. Thanks, guys.
Is that all he said?
That's all he said, yeah.
Oh.
He's going to reevaluate his life now. I'm trying to just run through some of these emails here quickly.
Take your time.
CB.
Dan from Maryland, congratulations. No. Sorry.
Who's up here?
Reading off the draft screen here, sorry. Silvio in Seattle. Fellas, I'm a little nervous about this Garoppolo guy. Historically, every QB Bill has drafted besides Tom has been pretty bad, and if I'm correct, didn't Bill want Rete over Brady? Do you guys think trading for Glennon would have been the better move? Glennon had flesh last year, and who knows what the change of scenery and stability of this team would do for him?
Well, clearly, Glennon wasn't traded.
No, he wasn't. But what this Rete over Brady, was that...
I don't know. That's a Paul Perillo question. Well, I don't know whether that was common belief. I don't know
yeah,
that
I don't
be
know
true.
If that's common knowledge or not.
So why didn't they take Rete?
I don't know. I don't even know if that's actually accurate.
I don't believe it to be so.
But the Glennon thing.
But what we have to stop doing is, I like Mettenberger. He likes Glennon. They like Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They get to choose. It's their job to choose. He makes somewhere in the range of $8 to $10 million a year to choose the right guy. He likes Garoppolo. So what we think is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Why is Andy yelling at everybody again?
Now, to me, the greater question, which is more of a debate, is could you have made your football team better this year by taking somebody who could play this year to try to win a Super Bowl this year? You're clearly planning for the closing window, which you acknowledged is coming by talking about Brady's age and contract situation, rather than trying to win within the window.
You're pounding that situation home.
Yeah, really. Really?
Am I no longer supposed to quote the head coach when he has a press conference?
I'm sorry, I didn't know
that was the rules. I thought they handed us transcripts because they wanted us to use the man's exact words.
I think you're making a little bit of a mountain out of a molehill.
He called it a situation.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad
thing. I have not said that. I just said they needed to address the situation.
But they have situations everywhere.
Not everywhere. Well, I asked you to tell me the situation at left tackle. You said there wasn't one.
Well, I mean, it's obvious they're planning for that window with the pick.
Right.
Yeah. So there doesn't need to be a situation at all.
It doesn't matter what we think of Garoppolo. That is irrelevant. That is up to opinion, and they can fix blah, 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 blah. To me, the greater debate is, could they have drafted a tight end, a safety, a defensive lineman, a linebacker, a running back, a receiver, and anything that would have helped them in the season 2014
right.
win a Super Bowl? Now, Fred Kirsch told me he believes the Patriots are the best team in football. They have the most talent. They are ready to win the Super Bowl. If that is what you believe, then I'm fine with it. You didn't need to add talent. I am not of that belief.
Okay. Tim in Italy, I'm with you, Andy. I'm so ticked off that we don't have a safety, tight end, or D end. I think Bill's trying to field an all-torn ACL team. Seriously, are we going to draft anyone who doesn't have an injury history longer than Fred's daily lunch menu?
It's a little dramatic, isn't it?
I would have gone Paul there.
It's a little dramatic.
It is a little dramatic, but I get his point. Sometimes you need to emphasize.
People
you know,
get really
Paul
angry
swears to emphasize
here,
with his kids. Sometimes you need to go a little over the top to emphasize.
People get really passionate about the draft.
As they should, because what you have to remember is, whether we're losers or not, me, Paul, the listeners, Mike McShay, Todd McShay, that's his brother, Mike, they talk a lot. We invest a lot of time in this. We go to the combine. We watch all this stupid video.
Mm.
We read scouting reports. Mm-hmm. And all the fans do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So they're
invested.
It's your own
There's
fault.
There's also
then,
a coaching element to it, too, though. Like
what,
they're going to do when they get here.
Well, yeah. Well, they never develop players, so.
Never? Never.
I'm just saying.
They don't develop second-round picks.
Well, that part is fairly true.
If the guy is a second round pick and doesn't play offensive line, they don't develop him. The only good picks they've had in the second round are offensive line, right, Paul? Refresh me.
And that was with Dante.
Yeah, but that's different. He's not a real second round pick. He was only a second round pick because he had a spinal surgery.
And that was with Dante.
Right.
So now we're going
quarterback. It's the only thing we haven't tried in the second round. We've blown everything else.
Yeah.
Where would you put Shane Vereen?
Yeah, he would not be on the developed into a nice, valuable second-round pick.
Okay,
I put him on IR. That's where he usually is.
Let's go back to the
love you, Shane.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Cody is calling from Illinois. What's on your mind, Cody?
Cool. Yeah, I just want to know what you guys think of Trey Burton. He's a tight end out of Florida.
Trey Burton, tight end, Florida.
Let me look at my notes. Doesn't ring a bell. We're getting to that point where the bell doesn't ring much.
What do you like about him, Cody?
Andy, Lynch just got drafted.
I saw it.
You brought him.
No. Aaron.
What?
Aaron.
Oh.
Cody, you brought him up. Why do you think he's an intriguing play?
I know we don't like Hernandez, but he was a great player. And Trey Burton, I think he could be similar to Hernandez. Very athletic tight end. He would help with Gronk. Just like Hernandez did.
Okay, well, we'll look him up. We'll see what our...
6'2", 224 pounds.
What our scouting reports will say.
Burton.
I don't know anything about him. Where is he? Did he not make my big board, Paul?
That's possible.
Hmm. Why did a successful tight end out of Florida not make my big board? What? Read on.
overview, dual-threat quarterback who also played basketballs, Florida Prep, right, let's see. Very good athlete, natural hands, catcher, catches in stride, and just very well to the flight off of the ball. Good route runner.
What's his last name? Burn?
Burton. Like Steve Burton.
Trey Burton.
He's projected to go fifth or sixth. So it's about right. Says he's a savvy, athletic, undersized H-back who was utilized in a flex receiving role in the Gators offense.
Excuse me.
Three
times.
It's not like me to not have a guy of note on my big board. Very difficult.
Avery Williamson just got drafted.
Saying he's a jack of all trades.
Master of none. Gimmick weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gimmick. That's what we need now is a gimmick.
Our friend Dagmar, we haven't heard from him in a while. He's on the Ace Ticket hotline in Miami. Dagmar, how is it down there?
Hey, how's it going? Hi, Jackie. Eric.
Hi.
Andy.
All right. Keep your pants on.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem. Big head. No problem. Hey.
I'm the creep on this show.
So what's on your mind, Dagmar?
I don't like the first round pick. I think
you don't like
he's
it.
Risking too much.
Okay.
Yep.
Talking. If you wanna talk about the development of the player and the possibility, you may probably get away with it. But I still look at the guy as an undersized defensive tackle. And to tell you the truth, I never liked the Florida Gators, even though I live here.
At least you're being honest.
You and me, both.
Yeah, they are a bunch of overrated players. And in terms of playmaking, I think their ability is a little questionable. I think the best player that has been able to come out of Florida in terms of playmaking ability in the last years, or if you want to recall those championship-level teams, those have been Hernandez and the other guy, Harvin.
Yep.
I think that we know the road that those two have taken so far. So I've had enough of Florida Gators. I don't think it's a good pick, second round pick. I don't like it. I don't think you should waste a second round pick on a quarterback that you should have him behind Brady. You don't even know when he's going to start. So if you know that you're going to draft a quarterback, why not just wait until later and get another player? I don't think in terms of value that he was the best value player available at that moment. I don't know. I really don't like the two first picks.
Who would you have taken then in that second pick, Dagmar?
So, to be honest with you, Eric, this year I have been completely disconnected from the talent evaluation process prior to the draft.
Okay.
I haven't done any research as any other prior years, but I'm sure you probably can come up with other names better than in terms of value. I mean, you can say that the guy has all the talent and all that, but I mean, I am not buying it, man. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. How about day three? How about day three?
Yeah.
What do you think of the picks so far this today?
I'm okay. I mean, I usually put a lot of hope on the first round and second round pick, and look at the depth for the later round, which, in my opinion, that's what should make any sense. But I mean, I'm okay with the day three. But this that I want to talk about is nothing related to the Patriots, but related to general talent evaluation process, and it is related to AJ McCarron, quarterback from Alabama. To tell you the truth, I don't think there's seven quarterbacks in this draft better than that guy. To tell you the truth, I don't think so. Teams can say that they know something about the guy that drove them away from him or something like that. But in terms of playing ability and experience and production and being proven on the high-level competition, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, at least this year.
So would you have, if they had taken him with the second pick instead of Garoppolo, would you have been
happy with that? No. I don't think Patriots should have drafted any quarterback in the second round, not even A.J. McCarron. But, I mean, if they would have drafted somebody else, like I said, I'm not even relating A.J. McCarron to the Patriots. I'm just talking about his evaluation in general.
Mm-hmm.
There are older 31 teams in the league, teams that really need a quarterback right now, and they haven't taken the chance to draft this guy. I mean, it's like mind-boggling, man. I don't know what people are doing in other teams when they evaluate talent. I mean, I don't blame the Patriots for not drafting him. In reality, they don't need him because what is he going to do if he comes to the Patriots? He's going to sit back behind Brady, and they have already Mallett with 3 years on the belt.
Yep.
You know, okay. Developing behind Brady, so it's all not right. Like they should have drafted him. He's just
all right.
General,
well, I get your point. You're a big AJ McCarron fan,
and you hate Florida. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, Dagmar.
Take care, man.
Truck on, trucker.
Wow.
I would say that McCarron is better than Logan Thomas, who is a quarterback in name. But the other guys that I think have been taken, I don't think McCarron is better than.
I don't know.
I think Savage has better skills than McCarron.
Yeah.
Certainly the big four at the top were better.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back AFC East picks are on the clock here with the Jets under 2 minutes to go with their pick.
Actually,
the Dolphins.
Actually, three in a row because Buffalo just took Cyril
Richardson. Yes.
Tiny.
You're right. Yep.
And the Jets in Miami are up now.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills have drafted a couple of offensive linemen, a wide receiver. What else did they get? Didn't they get a
cornerback, right?
Corner.
I think they got a cornerback.
The Bills better hit on all these picks on account of they don't have any coming up ever again.
Yeah, they're mortgaging away the future pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'd mortgage their future, too. It's not that impressive.
Are the Jets easily having the best draft in the AFC East right now?
What's Miami?
Quanjo, they also got
Miami
Buffalo.
Got, like, an offensive...
They reached for Jameis Jones or Juwanis Jones or whatever. That kid out of
Juwan James.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, I think so. Mm.
Bit of a reach. He was like the sixth tackle. He should. Yeah, no, I don't care for it.
If you're giving a grade right now,
I'd give the Jets the better.
The Jets have the top grades,
certainly.
And then,
although I mean, Patriots wise, it hinges on the health of Easley. I mean, so much about a draft is your number one pick.
Mm.
Do you hit? Do you miss? Is he blah? And as we talked about, I think Easley is a boom or bust.
And for the immediate, it's probably the other teams are ahead of the Patriots, but the Patriots may, down the road, if the developmental guys pan out,
mm-hmm.
you might look at it a little bit differently.
Not just big in Africa today, not just big in Europe, but in Africa as well, guys. This is Evan from Africa, from Ghana. I felt I should write to let you know, I'm also listening here in Ghana.
Welcome aboard,
office
Ghana.
Office time to watch the draft at dawn here, but the Pats have not drafted the tight end and safety I was expecting.
Nope.
Anyways, does it matter where you draft a player as long as you get the one you were looking for? I heard some analysts complaining about where Manziel was drafted by the Browns, that it did not show that they and were in love with him at all. With all these injured players, I have a funny feeling they will be healthy when we need them in the postseason. Keep it up as your analysis helps us understand some of the action of the Patriots' picks.
Why do you have to be in love with a guy?
Help me out on the injured players. Easley, obviously, coming off a torn ACL.
Mm.
Garoppolo's healthy, right?
Stork had a little.
Stork did nothing at the combine because he has two bad shoulders, a bad knee, and almost had a toe amputated.
But he's not expected.
No finger, okay. The digit.
But that's not expected to be anything for him.
Right.
No, but it's not good.
Who else have we taken?
That has an injury.
James White is not has no injuries.
I don't believe James.
So Easley's really the only guy that his availability would be in question starting the season.
Of the picks,
yeah. Okay. Just wondering. The Jets select inside linebacker.
That's a good pick. He's a good solid inside linebacker.
So the Jets continuing
solid draft.
Some solid draft choices.
Yeah. You know what happens when you think like a Jet. You suck.
Well, when you're a Jet all the way.
Well, let's get a goddamn snack.
Let's see. Whoa.
What are you whoa-ing?
Language.
You can say goddamn on the show. Have you ever listened to this show?
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
We say everything.
You don't like the show?
No, I don't like that.
Wait, you don't like
it? You came in to
you
be,
don't like goddamn?
You came here
like
to be on the show with us.
Bad words.
Goddamn is not a bad word.
It is considered by some people to be offensive, Andy.
Yeah.
That
it's all right. You can say what you want. No, I just will not say it.
More offended than like if I said sugar honey.
Offensive. Sugar honey what?
Iced tea.
Holy crap!
What are you saying? What are you saying?
Jack. Sugar honey African
sugar
rainbow.
Honey ice tea.
Oh,
It's like just exhausting.
I can't. Really, I have a swear jar, so I can't say anything.
So that's why I had to spell.
Are you offended as a swear, or are you offended as a God-fearing Christian?
I'm not going to get into that.
Melindra in Norwich, New York. I'm pretty sure that's... I'm going to go with that's a girl's name because it ends in an A.
Yeah. Melindra Carlisle.
That's Belinda. This is Melindra.
Let's see.
I'm trying to put a positive spin. She's trying to put a positive spin on an otherwise baffling draft.
Keep
but I echo some of your thoughts. Let's be patient. Let them play first before jumping to conclusions. It's like what Jackie said earlier. It's easy to get mad because we've been told by... the media and Andy Hart, that we should be getting certain players. Doesn't that make it, doesn't make it right, does it?
No.
Otherwise, Andy would be working for Bill.
Not necessarily. I told them, I put it in a cover of PFW, draft Robert Quinn and you will not regret it. And what's Robert Quinn now? Oh, wait.
Quinning.
I'm sorry, is he like one of the best defensive players in football?
He is, yeah.
Arthur Lynch to the Dolphins. Damn
it. That's a killer.
Well, you know
so
what?
We will see him here.
Yeah, twice.
Play him twice a year, and he's vowing to beat the Patriots twice a year.
Dartmouth, Mass, getting some play on the NFL Network there.
Dominant.
Melinda had one other on a separate note. What are your game day rituals?
I don't have any.
You don't have a ritual on game day?
Whose game day rituals?
Ours.
I don't have a ritual on game day. I come here to work.
Yeah, but like, don't you have anything at work that you do that's sort of ritualistic?
No. I mean, when I was a fan, I had a whole bunch of things, but...
coffee.
I just come to work.
Yeah. That's it?
I don't think I
for a ritual
really.
to work?
like when you... When
I put
you
my pants on.
When you set up...
I try to make sure I'm dressed.
I have my game day thong that I like to wear.
No, but like you have
Andy
a,
whips we make, his hair back and forth.
We're going to have to change it up this year because we lost Darren, who used to get us lunch on road games. So we're going to have to do something about that.
You leave work. I mean, you leave your house at a certain time,
but just to avoid traffic. It's not like a ritual.
Okay, just trying to help her understand us better.
Now, as a fan, I had all kinds of things like those.
Like what?
Well. Different had to get you know
clothespin on his right nipple.
The food that we had to have, the different shirts for different games, stuff. Yeah, all kinds of crap.
Did you wear a home shirt for home games and road shirt?
Yes.
For, did you?
Yes, I did.
Did you wear a loser shirt the rest of the week?
I'm sorry that you're not passionate about anything besides breasts.
I know somebody who's very passionate about pretty much everything, and that's Chester in Oregon, who's on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Can't believe Arthur Lynch went to the Dolphins.
Chester,
I
know you've been dying to get this off your chest, whatever it is. I don't know if you love it or hate it, but I know you're going to bring some passion. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on? Jackie, nice to hear you in, by the way. You ought to do this more often when the guys are man down.
I know. I'm trying to get used to it. It's kind of hard.
That's what she said.
Yeah, let's just keep HR out of it on Monday. You know, I really enjoy
it. Too late, Chester. Too late.
So, all right, let's cut to the chase. So are you happy or not?
Let me cut to it. Okay, so listen, the sky's falling mentality is kind of baffling to me. I mean, I feel like we're really addressing key needs. We got blown off the line on both sides of the ball last year. I think adding Stork and this Fleming kid living on the West Coast, he's a solid, solid pickup for us. He just lacks a little quickness. But bottom line here is I feel like we added a lot of needs. I still feel like there's time to, you know, shuffle some pieces. So, I mean, what this tells me, first of all, is I think Mark Harrison might have a better role next year. We're not keen on tight end like we think. I'm really wondering what's there. And lastly, I just want to ask you guys, do you see us getting a bruiser in any way, shape, or form? This running back was a little bit of the one thing I really didn't dig. He's seems small and maybe like a Ridley replacement, but I'm just wondering, are we going to get a guy with some beef in there running back? That's all I got. I'll talk to you Tuesday. Over and out.
All right, Chester. Paul, you seemed to say earlier about the running back, James White, that he was more of a traditional type of...
Well, he's small.
Well, he's small, but he's more of the traditional type.
He's a scat type. Back type, but not necessarily just a pass catcher like Vereen. He's a
right.
He's a ball carrier.
So is he sort of in between? Is he sort of in between a Vereen and Ridley? Would you kind of...
Yeah, I understand
that?
What you're saying, but what Chester's saying is that he thought they were going to get a guy to
like a Blunt.
Replace Blunt.
Yeah.
This is not a guy to replace Blunt.
No.
He's not a hammer. He's
and I don't think they're
a quick, elusive guy.
I don't think... I don't see them taking another running back today.
I don't see them taking an additional one either. No, I would be surprised if they did. But I don't think it's a huge need. I thought they needed a running back. I didn't think they necessarily needed to replace Blunt.
Yeah.
I thought they might.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, that's why I liked Jeremy Hill so much, because I think he would be a better version of Blunt.
Yep.
But they didn't need to replace the big power guy necessarily. They could have just gone after any running back, and they did. I think the one thing that I would worry about with White is
Wisconsin is a traditional running powerhouse in the Big Ten. They produce a lot of good offensive linemen. They run the ball as a rule, so sometimes the production of those guys is overblown a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know how much of that was due to scheme and how much of it was because he was a good player.
Okay. Jack, we have a listener who writes in often from Stockholm. Her name's Michelle. She says, tell Jackie I can hook her up if she wants to come to Sweden and work on a horse farm. One of my best friends owns one.
Oh, my gosh. I would
Why
love
does only
that.
Jackie get to go?
Because I'm the only one who expressed any interest in that.
No. I
thought that was so cool. That is so nice. Oh,
she also a horse farm in Sweden sounds intriguing.
She also loves it when we call her Charlotta.
I would love to go horseback riding.
Is your friend hot?
What?
Have you?
Can we see?
Have you ever done that?
What, horseback riding?
Yeah, ride a horse.
Oh, heck yeah!
Bouncing
really?
Along.
Kidding me? Yeah.
You had horses?
We didn't have horses, but my aunt did, and my cousin rode like competitively, and she did, you know, whatever equestrian is at college. I couldn't do it. What's it called when they like you jump them? You know, you like do the horse shows.
Equestrian mm-hmm.
steeplechase.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah. It was just equestrian then. So she did that.
What college
but we
did
would
you
always,
go to? Do all colleges have that?
She went to North Georgia. It's in like
North Georgia.
Yeah, it's I don't even know where. It's in like nowhere really. But
because I don't think ever. I mean, I don't know. Like Notre Dame has an equestrian.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
I think they're strong.
We had friends. Like we had friends.
It translates to the ACC. Maybe when they were still like an independent out there in the middle of the country.
It's fun.
The equestrian team.
I would go to Sweden to see a horse.
That would be awesome.
I would go to Sweden for other reasons, but
the
Swedish bikini
team. Why
wouldn't you go? I mean, that'd be so cool.
No, you'd probably go for meatballs.
Not a fan. Jeez.
You don't like Swedish
trying to
meatballs?
Think of, I've been trying to like tweet something for like
just
10 minutes.
FYI, Paul,
yeah, what's wrong?
You are very distinctly audible in the bathroom.
I am distinctly
audible. What do you mean?
I can
bathroom.
Hear you in the bathroom, and I was like, hey, that's Paul talking.
Like, okay. Oh, from in here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Over the speakers or
I
just
don't
through the walls?
I think so. I think just acoustically.
Well, that door has been closed. I don't know why it's open.
In a weird, to get a breeze.
Well, to get a little bit of cross ventilation going.
Our second Shaq of the day.
Okay.
Shaq Richardson.
Wow.
So many Shaqs.
I can't believe Arthur Lynch is gone.
I know.
And more importantly, face him twice a year.
Well, you're going to regret that.
See, that's good for you. You'll get to see him every year.
And it's good for him.
See
him. Coverage linebackers on the Patriots.
Oh, the soft middle. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve's
in California.
Oh, my boy Caron
Reed just went.
It's also good for him that, like, it's, you know, Florida's nice.
Steve in California.
What's up, Stevie?
How's everything going, guys?
I've been better.
Getting there. We got 10 minutes to go.
I'm tired, and I don't like the draft, but other than that, it's fine.
I'm kind of with you. I'm not a big fan of what we've done so far. I know there's...
Well, you know what? There's not a lot of time left. We're getting to the crappier and crappier parts of the draft.
Yeah.
I only got 10 minutes of the show left.
A couple of things I wanted to just share my opinion. You know, unlike the Steelers and maybe the Green Bay Packers, other than that, Patriots are one of the teams that I think do a good job of looking for other opportunities with other players that get cut later. You never know. So, you know, I don't think all is lost. We might still find a couple of players that could help us out by the time the season starts. That's one thing. And second, I wanted to elaborate a little bit about what Chester said pertaining to Mark Harrison. I mean, the guy's a, what is it, 6'3", 230, maybe if he puts a couple of pounds in. I mean, couldn't we see him be a little bit more of a, maybe, I don't know, but maybe a little bit of a tight end type, kind of like getting that mold of Aaron Hernandez? I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen or anything, but what do you guys think about that? I mean, is it completely out of the question?
No, but I think it's a little bit overly optimistic to say that a guy who was sort of, you know, was a bigger wide receiver type in college, to say he's going to, you know, sort of project as more of an H-back tight end, and who, by the way, did nothing last year, was injured, to just say that we're going to count on him to be a factor in the offense is a little ridiculous.
I think you'd like that.
Yeah, I don't know if Harrison's a guy that can run.
Oh, he's pretty impressive physically.
Size-wise, he is. I don't know how fast he is.
I'm pretty sure he has a decent 40 time.
Ouch.
I mean, he was a wide receiver, so...
No, I know, but he was a slow one.
Jack, are you okay? What's going on?
Suddenly, Paul Perillo, Mr. Negativino.
Well, I think you summed that up perfectly. I mean, you have an undrafted
rookie.
Like, that's what we're counting
on. Who didn't play last year is suddenly going to replace the guy that most people thought was a Pro Bowl talent.
Now, to be fair, the reason he was undrafted wasn't necessarily his talent.
It was one reason why he was drafted. What was undrafted, right?
What?
His health situation in the crapper.
Right. Those two things.
There's a lot of things.
Those aren't necessarily talent related, though.
But there's a lot of bad things for talented guys that they don't preclude them from getting drafted.
Right, but when you crap all over a hotel room and at the combine, it's bad.
I agree.
I'm no expert, but that's bad.
That's bad. That's bad.
Steve, anything else?
Crap hotel bad.
Just one last thing. I mean, just to add to the Rutgers. I mean, the Coleman is still out there, so if anybody is interested in any more Rutgers.
No, I'm not interested in Coleman either. You couldn't sell me on Harrison as much as you wanted to, and you can't sell me on Coleman.
All right, then. Pack your bags and go home, Andy.
I agree.
Unfortunately, that's what Paul's doing. I have to stay.
Oh, it's all about Andy. I have to stay.
Great show, as usual. See you guys later.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve.
For
I've never actually seen you in my life.
We're going to get Paul's input here, and I don't mean Perillo. Paul's in Florida.
Paulie!
Welcome to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul, what's on your line?
Man.
What's thinking?
Hey, you guys, I got a gift I'm going to send you. It's the Pensacola News Journal had on the front page where the Patriots were going to the Super Bowl. It was a misprint. But I'm going to send it to you guys, but I want to make a comment on grapple.
I like it. Okay.
But let me just lead in that real quick. I know we're at the end. Here's the thing about Brady, and I love him, but he misses too many open receivers downfield that are wide open, and that worries me for the future. Garoppolo, I saw his footwork, and I got the most eerie feeling because it reminded me of Peyton Manning.
What do you mean exactly?
If you watch him, and you watch how his feet stutter in the pocket, he is always ready to launch that ball at any second. And when I saw that, this is before they picked him, I said, oh my God, somebody's going to get lucky here. And I just couldn't believe they got him.
So you think you're saying his pocket presence is like Peyton Manning?
No, his footwork.
If you watch his footwork, yeah.
Yeah.
His pocket.
Yeah. The happy feet kind of thing that he's got going on?
Yeah.
He's got a very quick release. Hey, he's right. The email is right. That is one of the things, one of the strongest attributes for Garoppolo is a very quick release. His feet are always ready to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. I heard, I think Mayock said his feet are always with his eyes. Oh, no, Trent Dilfer. His eyes are always with his feet, and he's always ready to unload.
I didn't realize that. Till I
Which is a similar trait that Peyton Manning has, yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
Did
we just lose him? I think we.
Paul, you still there?
I'm here. That was my main thing. Is that I love Brady. I've been a fan since before Bledsoe. But I have to admit, Brady. If a guy is 10 yards open and Brady's missing him, something's wrong here. And also,
how often does that happen?
Last photo of Brady with the red pants. In the hair.
now I'm on board with you. Now I'm on board.
Well done, Paul. Well done.
You have to think that Kraft had to say something like, "We gotta look at a quarterback now after that picture."
446, Paul, from Mark Harrison. 40-10.
Ed Stinson.
All right. So Paul,
apparently Paul doesn't like 4-4 big receivers.
Paul in Florida is big on the Garoppolo pick and overall on the draft to this point. What's your feeling?
I think it's that first round pick it's an all or nothing. I think if the guy can play, we could never afford a player like that. So he's rolling the dice 100% on that. If the kid is healthy enough to play, we would never get him because we would never be that low in the draft to get this kid.
Okay. All right, Paul in Florida, thanks for the call, bud. Big fan of Garoppolo right there.
At least somebody is.
I don't remember him being that fast. I'm surprised by that time, Andy, to get back to your... I didn't want to interrupt Paul, but to get back to your Harrison thing, I didn't remember him being that fast. Boy, a lot of dumb teams in the draft, I guess. Big, fast... stud wide receiver who broke his foot so he didn't get drafted. That was sort of short-sighted.
Well, he also pooped all over a hotel room at the company.
I mean, compared to what these guys do, that's absolutely nothing. You know, these guys that have these sexual assaults against them that still get drafted. Right?
I don't know. certainly has a decision-making issue. Like, I don't get it. To me, it's
Yeah, I didn't think he was that good.
The sexual assault, I get.
Last year. I didn't think
sexual
he was that
assault,
good a player.
You're a horny bastard, and you're an idiot. I don't know why anyone would ever poop over a hotel room. Like, literally.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes
weird.
No sense.
It's just weird.
Like, the sexual assault is far more explainable than somebody pooping in a hotel room all over the hotel.
But it's also far worse.
No, I don't know that, actually. Because to me, the pooping can be a sign of the guy's an absolute freaking psychopath.
What?
And a sexual assault implies that a guy is very sane.
I have never
heard decision maker.
I have never heard anyone else ever pooping all over a hotel room.
Maybe he was
really?
Sick.
Men all the
You've
time.
You've never heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Never heard of anybody doing that. You never heard the story that Manny Ramirez did that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I don't know how you missed that.
I haven't. I've heard of breaking lamps and freaking out and smashing guitars. I don't know what would ever make someone poop all over a hotel room. To me,
psychologically,
animalistically, rape, sexual assault happens in all animals and all species all over the place. It's nature at its worst or however, but it's natural. Pooping in a
more,
hotel
more
room makes no
more
sense.
More natural, not natural. It's more natural than doing that other thing.
I'm
it's,
out on
it's
this
what you're saying.
Saying it's natural doesn't mean it's good or right.
No.
But every species you watch, they have rapes, they have like they do weird things. Who would poop in a hotel room at a job interview? That's even worse. It wasn't a bachelor party that went wrong. He was at a job interview.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't explain
it or excuse it at all. But the Patriots felt confident in bringing
and they
him
have
on board,
as an undrafted rookie.
Yeah,
and that's
an
fine.
Undrafted
there's
rookie.
There's
yep.
Go for it, swing for the fences.
Yep.
But I mean, I can see why that might rub some teams the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, we'll get one last email in before we close out the show. This is Dan, and doing it on behalf of Jackie, who's here today. Dan, an expatriate Patriots fan in Atlanta. Am I the only Pats fan that finds this draft perplexing? Clearly not. Easily maybe boom or bust. Garoppolo in round two because they feared Houston would get him the top of round three, and he won't help now. Where's the tight end and safety? Good quality players are going by the board. For me, this is an exasperating draft where needs and depth are not being met so far. My hope is that everyone returns healthy and the Pats can pick up free agents.
One of the only guys that I would really get at all interested in at this end would be Dixon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ahmad Dixon, I'm still somewhat intrigued by. Well,
any reason that you can think of why he's gone this far?
Well,
without
he's not
being
that good. I mean, he was supposed to be a fourth or a fifth round prospect.
Okay.
He is limited. He is not as athletic. Let me find my notes. I mean, he wasn't in that top tier. Okay, so he's 6'2", 212, good size, hitter, solid, not overly quick, gets through traffic decently. He's a hybrid kind of linebacker. They called it the bear down there. I mean, I think he's probably, you're going to have to work with him. He's a little more of a true safety. I think coverage is going to be a little bit of an issue. 4.64, he's slower than those other guys that were running 4.4, 4.45 type things. He's just a lesser talent, but for the role that they need, I'm still intrigued
still
by him.
A good fit.
Yeah.
Craig Lawston out of LSU, he hasn't gone, right, Paul?
Not that I am aware of, but I might have missed him.
I'm okay with him. The Dowling kid out of Western Kentucky Day, Jonathan Dowlingo?
I don't think I've seen his name.
Okay, well, he's an interesting guy, corner safety type. But there's just very few, and tight end.
I mean, how many are, valuable tight ends are left?
None. Your boy just went to Miami. That was pretty much what I was hoping for.
I'll give you...
I liked Dixon as well. I thought he was very physical and very aggressive, good tackler. So I think this is where he was supposed to go, roughly. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like that come in, and maybe he can push Daron Harmon. Maybe he can step right in and get some playing time.
The only tight end...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That I still kind of liked was Jake Murphy, and he's a backup tight end. He doesn't have number one or even maybe number two upside. He, you know, not overly fast, thick, with decent hands.
Okay. Well, that's going to be it for our draft coverage. The draft, of course, is going to continue for the next few hours. The Patriots
forever.
Have four more picks, three in the sixth, one in the seventh. We will cover all of that news for you still on Patriots.com.
Yes, audio, video, text.
Yep. And,
Zach, you can start playing the goodbye music. We're going to
We're already 3 minutes late.
Yeah.
We're giving them more
a little bit more than they expected for.
You know, we're a little bit overtired. I got to put my computer in.
Thanks to Jackie for showing up and helping out.
Thanks, Jackie.
This is hard.
On our last draft show of 2014.
That's what she said.
We'll have more draft coverage like
that
on
makes it even more difficult.
And I'm out.
Throughout the night, and we will have first-round pick Dominique Easley in the house on Monday. We'll talk to him, and then we'll recap all of that for you on Tuesday. So until then, for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, me, Eric Scalavino, for Jackie Britton, and for Fred, who's no longer here today, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.